بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس، صدق الله العلي العظيم. Respected ulama, elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers, when we analyze and study the world today, we will find almost in every country there is some type of turmoil, some mayhem and chaos going on. However, what is of concern to us as Muslims is where we find, for example, in Palestine, what is happening now in Iraq, Afghanistan, and we take so many other countries. I will just highlight a few issues and then what is the solution, what role can we play so that inshallah Almighty Allah solves the problem for all the Muslims throughout the world, inshallah. I'm sure that all of us are aware what is happening in Gaza. Gaza is that part of the world where Hashim, Nabi alayhi salatu salam's great-grandfather, is buried, and therefore it's called Gaza to Hashim. And in that part of the world we find there is no petrol, there is nothing going through. So much so the United Nations also gave up hope. And now they say we cannot deliver food and all humanitarian supply because our vehicles cannot move without fuel. So we can imagine that you have an open camp and there is nothing really going through. The children, the women, only they know what is their plight. And if you just read Al-Mujtama, and I request every alim that you should try and obtain and procure this magazine from Kuwait. It's called Al-Mujtama, it's in Arabic, it's a weekly magazine. Excellent articles they have. In the latest one they have that the Arab world has handed over Palestine and washed its hands off and given it to Israel. So what a sad moment for us that when our own brethren, who today, whilst coming here to the masjid, I just heard the news, 7 o'clock news, they say that oil price has reached the record levels, $120 per barrel, and millionaires, they are billionaires, multi-billionaires, but they cannot help their brethren. So then we need to ask the question seriously, that what has happened to this ummah today? So that is great cause for concern, that what are we as Muslims doing about this? Alhamdulillah, we find in the past 5, 10, 15 years, a great awareness now that, you know, ulama's programs and mashallah people reading. So now we find people, male, female, children going through what they call the three haram sharifs. They go to Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara, Masjidul Aqsa. Our ulama, Mawlana Venkat Sahib and others just returned now, and you should invite Mawlana, inshallah. He'll give you updated news of what they saw in all these parts of the world. Nevertheless, that is one issue, burning issue. Number two is, if we look at Iraq, what is happening. If you know Iraq, brothers, I just highlight few statistics to you. Before the first Gulf War in the 90s, their currency was so strong, that is the Iraqi currency, that if you gave one Iraqi dinar, you would receive $3. Understand the figures that I'm mentioning, brothers. If you gave one Iraqi dinar, then you would receive $3. When we went in 2000 July, this I'm giving my personal experience, then you gave one US dollar, we would collect 2000 Iraqi dinars, and you know, we used to walk around basically sometime with shoe boxes, because it's big, big notes, Saddam's, all his snaps were there, that you can't even put in your pocket because it becomes too big. So you walk around with a small box and put, so all of us become millionaires. If you take now what's happening, so you'll know that the whole economy, everything is on a downturn. And remember all this talk of democracy and peace and all that, you know what it means. So they have taken a country that had one of the best education in the Arab world, in the Middle East. They had one of the best hospital medical facilities. And he had one of the highest amount of literacy rate in the Arab world and reduce it to the pauper status. That is what you find has happened in Iraq. If you go to Afghanistan, you heard what happened yesterday. There was an attempted assassination attempt on Karzai. Not that we're going to miss him if he was taken away from the picture, but the question is that everywhere, whether it's the TV, whether it's the print media, the radio, I'm speaking in the world, you will find that Islam, Muslims are demonized. I always give this example. Wherever we go, we just dress like this. So if we walk into the airport,
ND609455, your car's causing obstruction. Please move the vehicle.
If you take Afghanistan, brothers, then you will find that especially the Taliban, they are demonized throughout the world. You just take the word Taliban and people start thinking that you're taking them to the Dark Ages and the Stone Age. Nevertheless, I was telling you that if we are at airports, at public places, and we are dressed like this, and you just look at the response and reaction, not all the time, but many a time, you will see the non-Muslim, when they look at us, they're already walking backwards, you know. Another terrorist is here. And if they have to get a seat next to us, or we sit next to him, finish, his huzu is broken, basically. So, what an uncomfortable trip it would be for him, you know. So we have to make life easy for them and show them the beauty of Islam. Easy, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but I want two easy examples. We all perform our Isha Salat now, alhamdulillah. We all perform wudu before we came for Salat. And what do we see? That when we washed our hands, we come to see the color of the Salat, or of the water. We come to know the color and we see the color of the water. The one characteristic, one feature of water. When we take that water, insert it in our mouth, we come to know the taste of the water. When we take that same water and then we insert it in our nostrils, we come to know the smell. So water has three characteristics and three features, the color, the taste and the smell. You masterpiece, O Muslim, Almighty Allah says that when water has passed all three characteristics, now make the Quran operative and effective. فَغْسِلُوا هُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرْءُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Now carry on with your wudu. Show us any religion in any part of the world. You juxtapose it, compare it with Islam, and you show us that you have a better system. This is just an example, brothers. With conviction in a masjid, we say that in any part of the world we go, any law of Islam you take, compare it with man-made law, and you will always see that Islam comes out the best. Why? Because Islam came directly from Almighty Allah. He is Subhanallah. When you analyze the word Subhan, it means Allah is that Zat, He is that being, that He transcends every defect, every flaw. So perfect, more perfect than the word perfect, that is Allah. And human beings, we know First Amendment, Second Amendment, everything of ours is limited. So take this Islam, brothers. So we speak of Afghanistan. What is happening in Afghanistan? So you see that they'll tell you how many daughters, how many children they sent to school, what they are doing, the reconstruction and so forth. But go and see what they have done with the porn industry. They took the porn industry and said, we will liberate all the people of Afghanistan and give them the worst type of films and movies. If you know the Pathan culture and you know the Pushtun culture, they would not even raise their eyes to look at another woman. Sometimes the person might get married and the only people he has seen as females, maybe his mother, sister and so forth. But that was their culture. That among them, parda, hijab was priority number one. And the youngster is about so young, so short, and you know, he's the gun he'll carry, the Kalashnikov or the AK-47 or whatever, the gun, if you put it on the ground and hold it upright, the gun sometimes is longer and taller than him. That is their culture. So now they want to eradicate, eliminate that culture. What's all your hijab and parda? So fill them and saturate the market with porn. So that is what they have done in Afghanistan. You go to the West. Last year, with Allah's help, I went to Andalus, Muslim Spain. And we all should go, brothers. Go with this to see inqilab-e zamana. That is why I read the verse. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. How Almighty Allah took this time and rotated it amongst humanity and people. We find that the biggest masjid in the world, brothers. Biggest masjid in the world. And that is Masjid Qurtuba. A masjid, I'm speaking the biggest in the world, with a saqaf, with a ceiling and a roof. And that was our biggest masjid at that time. Ask the ulama present here, other parts of the world. What is Tafsir Qurtubi? So one of the greatest Tafsir, the Maliki fiqh flourished there in Andalus, Muslim Spain. Today, that masjid, which Muslims had for centuries, seven times that masjid was extended because of the amount of people that used to visit and frequent it. So we find that that masjid today is transformed into a cathedral. When I walked in, my wife walked in, the police came straight. Sir, sir, no prayer, no prayer. So what can you do? You just sometimes let the tears roll down, and when you come to the first surf, then you will find the mihrab, you will find one of the best architecture in the world. All that, our history, our legacy, our heritage is speaking. You allowed this to happen. Go to our neighboring country, Zimbabwe. Brothers, last week I had a brother at my home, and he said, from Zimbabwe, his name is Ali. I said, Ali, leave all this. How are you? Tell me what's your condition and situation. Give me some statistics. He said, if you take one US dollar, you get 60 million Zimbabwe dollars. I asked him, your wife goes for shopping or you go for shopping? He says that when my wife goes for shopping, so either when she goes there, she cannot buy the products because the prices are changing every day or every hour. So the money she has is too little, but the millions, because they're all millionaires, billionaires in Zimbabwe dollars. Or if she has the money, then the product is missing. See, halat, conditions, how they change. So brothers, we must take cognizance of this. So what can we do? The first thing, all of us, brothers, male, female, all of us listening. So Almighty Allah tells us, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَوْ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاكُمْ. Tell them, O Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, that my Allah, my sustainer, nourisher, is not bothered, concerned about you if you don't make dua. If the husband tell the wife, do my way or catch the highway, the boss tell the employee, you fired, go, go find another job. It's not end of the world. But if Allah tells us, then who is there for us, brothers and sisters? So every night, every day, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, raise our hands, brothers. Make dua for the ummah at large. What is happening? That you can't believe what things happen. In the holy places, what is happening? So we must remember that we must turn to Almighty Allah, number one. Number two, we ourselves. South Africans, we always are very proud about this, and sometimes proud not in the good sense, in the meaning of arrogance. وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْفِرْ. We South Africans have the best masjids in the world. We have the greatest amount of darulums. Per capita, per percentage-wise, we have the most amount of ulama and huffaz and imams and all. Brothers, in Islam, you don't work like that and say that what we did. We say, what are the challenges left for the future? The African connection, South Africa after us is no country. We have to take this Islam to the whole of Africa. We have to take it to the whole globe. I'm no politician, I don't belong to any party. Brothers, we have a government at this point in time that is one of the most sympathetic to Islam and Muslims. We have so many masajid, madrasas, all ulama, radio stations, Radio Islam, Channel Islam, your answer, whatever. So we must remember that, voice of the Cape, so many things going. The point is that they allow us to speak. Our Muslim countries would not allow us to speak. Leave non-Muslim, Muslim countries would not allow us to speak. So brothers, we must remember, use this opportunity that say, oh Allah, make me. We are here, mashallah, and Hazrat Maulana is our leader here, and the whole of South Africa. I think that I mentioned this to you before, that if you take Rabia Basriya and Hassan Basri, the sage of the age, one a female and one male, and both awliyaullah. Rabia Basriya came and she gave Hassan Basri a candle and, you know, So he gave a needle. So Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, we call him Imam because he's Imam in Tasawwuf. So he asked, now what must I do with this candle? You know, there's no load shedding there, obviously, no Eskom and all this thing. What must I do with this candle here? And what must I do with this needle? So she said, oh Hassan, you need to become the candle. If you look at the candle decreases in size, but the light goes all the time. So me and you have to make the sacrifices all the time, so we all become beacons of light. We're not only in Masjid al-Nur, the Nur has to become a beacon of light for all of us, brothers. So the South African connection, take it to the world. One. You have the needle, say, what must I do with the needle? He said, look at the needle, it works all the time, up, down, up, down. But it is alone. There's nothing, no cloth, nothing around it. So you do whatever you are doing solely, only for the pleasure of Allah. So that is our lesson, brothers. For all of us, whatever activity we are, you are in Tabligh Jamaat, you are in Tadrees teaching, you are in business, whatever. So make this dua, oh Allah, use me for your deen. So we will see Allah will use us, use our children all, inshallah. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Okay, brothers, that we are going to start the program just now in about 5-6 minutes time, inshallah. Few things before we start the Q&A. Wherever I go, I make this announcement. Number one, brothers, you know, we are guests, you know, so that when we were very small, you know, we used to play cricket. Before the match start, we have a try ball, you know, so if you get out, you're not out, you know, so this type of thing. So brothers, don't make the question so difficult, throw one googly and one spin ball. Say, let's bowl him out. Ask such a question, he can't even answer. So this type of, that must not be the intention, brothers. The intention must be we all want to learn and this type of things here. So don't try and test. That is not the right, brother. I'm your guest. Make it easy. So number one. Number two, brothers, the name is AK Hussein, it's not AK-47. So what we do sometimes, we must remember that ABC brother got a problem with XYZ brother. So what do you do? We ask a question, you know the answer. But the aim is to shoot that person down. Now you made me into AK-47. I will answer it, but what is your intention? So JC Niyat Vesi Baraka. So that should not be the intention, brother. The intention must be really you want to ask a question. And third one, tomorrow we're going, inshallah. So brothers, remember that you don't ask such a controversial question, so you will remain with the problem. We will go away. So there's no need for that. There's so many things we can't really ask. So we hope, brother, just a request, that don't try and test and don't try and use this as a platform for scoring points and shooting other people down or organizations down. If you have a fair concern, fine. But not just now we got some personal grudge or problem, so that's not right. And third one, not such controversial questions. The next one, brother, the format will be, inshallah, we'll get the go-ahead now. Brother Faisal Suleiman will start the program and then we'll answer. He'll give you all the numbers. In the meantime, you can just give them this number for the SMS. If anybody wants to, the mothers, sisters who are here in the Asheville Overport area who are listening. So Brother Faisal will give you the number so you can start SMSing already, inshallah. Okay, inshallah, brothers. So the format will be that those of you who wish to SMS your queries, you can do so. We'll try our level best to answer all of them. Likewise, the overseas brothers, sisters, they will hear on the radio, inshallah, and they will be SMSing. The second format will be the way of asking questions. Our youngsters here, inshallah, they will be distributing the notes and the papers. So just write your question. You can remain anonymous. You don't have to put your name. And try and keep the story short. Not one A4, one question, brothers. You know, you can understand time is of the essence. So now we don't want now mother-in-law, father-in-law, and this one did though made me outlaw and all these things here. So keep it short, brief and concise. So you know, brevity is the essence of speech. So try and be concise, inshallah. So that's the second way. And third way is that, inshallah, that during the breaks, remember when we go for break, we will still continue with the questions as well, especially the papers that we've sent. So inshallah, we'll try. Before we start, inshallah, I must place on record, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. So our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab, Hafidhahullah, Almighty Allah, give him good health, inshallah. I thought Hazrat Maulana was gone already. Yesterday they told me, today also somebody told me. So therefore I came last minute. If I knew, there should be a Maghrib time, nevertheless. As Hazrat Maulana advises to us, his tawajjuh, his dua, and we're always indebted to Hazrat Maulana. Likewise, I think my most distinguished teacher, Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia, is here. So Allah Ta'ala give him also Jazai Khair. And our brother Ahmad Day and Aslam Day, mashallah, they gave me such a car to go to Port Shepstone and everything, that where I was driving from far, people making salam, you know. So I told him, by the way, they're making me salam or they're making the car salam, you know. So it's like a black beauty, so it looks like a mayor's car, you know. So anyway, this is Jazakallah Khair. This is your people's muhabbah, motivation. We request your du'as, inshallah. Please, brothers, while the program is on, we request absolute silence. When the break takes, then inshallah we can be able to...
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. All praise due to Allah, the Lord, Cherisher, Nourisher, Sustainer and Master of the Universe, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Ya Allah, it is only You that we worship and it is Your guidance that we seek. Ya Allah, keep us in a straight path, show us Your choice of blessings, show us Your mercies. Ya Allah, guide us. Greetings, salam, salutations on our beloved Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 6 minutes past 8 Central African time, it is Monday evening, the 22nd of Rabiul Thani, 1429, corresponding to tomorrow's day, 29th April 2008. We welcome you to Q&A on CII, broadcasting to you live from the Masjid An-Nur, that's the Mallinson Road Mosque in Asheville, Durban, South Africa. And we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you. My name is Faisal Suleiman and I'll be hosting the Q&A show from Masjid An-Nur this evening, inshallah ta'ala. Our esteemed guest on Q&A, as usual on a Monday evening, is Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahib. Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For the benefit of our listeners, you can forward your questions to us on SMS, and the SMS number for our listeners in South Africa, 083-943-6139. I repeat, 083-943-6139. If you're calling us from out of the borders of South Africa, 002783-943-6139. I repeat, 002783-943-6139. Before I pose your first question to the learned Mufti Sahib, I'm just going to share some Islamic economic indicators with you. The nisab of zakat is 3,105 rands and 87 cents. The mehre fatimi, 7,764 rand and 69 cents. The minimum mehr according to the Hanafi madhab is 155 rands and 29 cents. According to the Maliki madhab is 53 rands. And there is no stipulated minimum mehr according to the Shafi madhab. For your benefit, I'm going to repeat the numbers. 083-943-6139. That's for your question via SMS. And if you're calling us from abroad, 002783-943-6139. I'm going to pose the very first question to Mufti Sahib, which is a question which emanates from the local Musallis. Mufti Sahib, the first question is secret marriage allowed in Islam under any condition?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the Sustainer, Nourisher and Cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved Master and Leader, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, where Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam said, أعلن النكاح واجعلوه في المساجد, that your nikah should be performed in a masjid. It should be announced and pronounced. It is a happy occasion. When we use the term secret nikah, it has two connotations. One is that the family members, the father, paternal grandfather of the girl, they do not even know that a marriage took place, and their marriage like that is null and void. And Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, La nikaha illa bi walihin. A nikah is not valid except with the permission of the guardian, the wali, that is the father, the paternal grandfather, and so forth. And that is the verdict of the Shafi'is, the Malikis, and the Hanbali scholars and jurors. So much so, our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to state that Then Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam said, أَيُّمَ امْرَأَةٍ نَكَحَتْ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ وَلِيِّهَا فَنِكَاحُهَا بَاطِلٌ بَاطِلٌ بَاطِلٌ. Any woman who gets married without the consent of her wali, her father, paternal grandfather, then nikah is null and void. So if that's the meaning you are taking, so it is null and void. If we apply the Hanafi school, then Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah in Imdadul Muftiyin has written a wonderful fatwa on this topic. If the girl is aqila baligha, she is sane and she is mature and she gets married without the consent of her father, then there are two scenarios. If she got married without the consent of her father, what we call secret marriage, and if she brought disgrace, humiliation to the family by getting married in ghair kuf, someone who's not compatible, suitable to her, then according to the Hanafis also, that this nikah is null and void. Fatawa Hindiya, that is Alamgiri, Allama Shami, Bahru Raik, all of them have mentioned this, and Mufti Shafi Sahib has mentioned it as well. If you mean by secret nikah that you don't allow many people to come to know about it, but you, the husband, you're aware obviously, the wife is aware, and the wife's parents, meaning the father or the grandfather, or for example the brother, they the awliya of the girl, so they are aware of it and they gave consent, so that would be permissible. But is it desirable or not? Definitely undesirable. You can't be getting married and using your wife as a mistress or as a spare wheel, I call her. You must remember that is undesirable from an Islamic perspective.
Shukran Mufti Saab, the next question is, can interest money be given to a Muslim brother who is a recipient of zakat without the intention of sawab?
We must remember that interest money is haram. Almighty Allah has spoken about interest in the noble Quran. And if you take Surah 2, Surah Baqarah 275 to 279 verses 275 to 279, Almighty Allah mentions the grave sin. And one verse only I'll mention, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْأَلُوا, if you don't abstain and refrain, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, so be prepared for a war against Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi alayhi salatu salam. Imagine, it's not mentioned for any sin and any vice, but for interest. And in Sahih Muslim, Nabi alayhi salam said, Al-Mu'ti wal-Akhid wal-Katib, that all the people who are in this industry, kulluhum sawa, they all are equal, whether you are the scribe, the witness, the giver, the taker. So the seriousness we need to understand. So we live in a capitalistic society, so sometimes the interest comes, so try and dispose of it as soon as possible. You give it to any poor person, Muslim or non-Muslim, without the intention of reward, so that would be permissible.
Mufti Saab, the next question is, what is the position when making tawaf, and one forgets to make istilam and remembers halfway in that round?
When a person performs the istila, the tawaf, tawaf is sabatu ashwat, that we go seven times round the Baytullah, so that equates and equivalent to one tawaf. Especially nowadays, you can't forget because there's no line or anything there on the mataf, and you will see people are just, you know, raising their hands and so forth from different places. So if a person forgets it, remember your tawaf is totally valid, there's no problem with that. However, the first one, that is when you just start your tawaf, according to the Hanafi scholars, is sunnati muakkada, meaning that you should try and do it. But if you did not, you omitted it for some reason, you forgot, your tawaf is still valid, there's no problem with that. There's no need for you to come back and go into reverse gear and all that. So you just carry on as normal, it's fine.
An SMS question, Mufti Saab, at what time does Zohar Salah become Qaza, especially if you're traveling during that time?
Remember, according to the vast majority of scholars and jurors, that is the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, and Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahimahullah's two celebrated students, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Rahimahullah, we are in Durban now, so we'll just take the Durban time for example, that Zuhur time enters, say 12 o'clock, 5 past 12 nowadays, and let's, this is now, I'm just giving times at random, let's say for example, 3 o'clock, quarter past 3, Zuhur time ends. So that is Mithl al-Awwal. Mithl al-Awwal will mean that if you take an object, you insert it in the ground. So when you look at the shadow, so if it is equivalent to one shadow, that full shadow, so that now means Zuhr time has expired. Only Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah states Mithlain, which means that you took that stick, that object, you insert it in the ground, and then it is twice the amount of that object. So when it is equivalent to twice the amount, so then after that time, Zuhr time expires. So according to majority of the one shadow, according to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, two shadows. So that would be the expiry time. Obviously, all the ulama will tell us that best is to read it in the first shadow, and in that way we are sure that we are reading Zuhr on time. Otherwise, after the first shadow, it will be considered as qadha, according to the vast majority of jurists.
Shukran, Mufti Sahab. This is a live transmission of the Q&A program from the Masjid An-Nur, that's the Mullinson Road Masjid in Asheville, Durban, South Africa. And if you want to pose your questions via SMS, the number is 083-943-6139. Mufti Sahab, a question has come from one of the Muslims by SMS. In my work, I use adhesives such as epoxy, silicone, glue and putty, which comes on the skin or hair while I'm working. When making wudu, it does not come off. Will my wudu be accepted to perform salah? And also, if it does not come off immediately, and a person requires farad ghusl, will the farad ghusl be accepted?
Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla tells in the noble Quran, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَتْطَهَرُوا, that if you are in the state of ceremonial impurity, and you have to make ghusl, so Nabi alayhi salatu salam expounded this issue and said, تَحْتَ كُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ جَنَابًا, under every hair there is impurity. So if a person has putty or anything else, silicone or whatever, and that water does not penetrate through, does not seep through, then the wudu or the ghusl, whatever it is, would not be valid, and thereafter the salat would not be valid. So you need to keep something there by you. When we were very young, nowadays, mashallah, in New South Africa, so I know that they should tell us that if you have this paint or something, then take paraffin or take something, and that will make it, you know, remove the paint or whatever. So whatever thing you can use, so try and remove it. Otherwise, there are serious consequences. Your wudu would not be valid. Your ghusl would not be valid. And obviously, your salat would not be valid. So there are serious consequences. And there are ways and means of removing it. Otherwise, simple, just wear gloves and then you can work. So in that way there, you don't have this problem.
Mufti Sahab, is it permissible to combine the Jummah and Zuhr Salah?
Remember, if a person read Jummah, the Zuhr Salat falls away. And if a person read Zuhr Salat, the Jummah Salat falls away. Let's take example. We read Jummah, and now you want to read Zuhr Salat after that. There's no Zuhr. And the ladies, they read Zuhr Salat, so then they don't have to read Jummah. Or you're a Musafir traveler, you're going from here to Cape Town, you're in the Karoo somewhere. It's Friday, so you just read two rakat Zuhr, and you carry on. There is one masla some people have attributed to the Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i and them, but that is wrong. It is a buhtan. It is an accusation, a wild accusation. They say that according to the Shafi'is, and some ulama have said, other scholars also, a Zuhr Ba'd al-Jumu'ah, they said that after the Jummah Salat, you must repeat the Zuhr. Therefore, if you go to Egypt, Syria, I've been to this country with Allah's help, and I saw this incident, that some people, 100 people, 50 people, 20 people get together after the Jummah, and then they perform Zuhr Salat. The rationale and reason for that is, they say that Imam Shafi does not allow ta'addudul jumu'ah. Ta'addudul jumu'ah means, you can't have in one town, in one city, many Jummah salats. Only the first Jummah. So for example, if the first Jummah took place at 12:15, 12:30, so that Jummah would be valid. Others that took place 12:45, 1:00, that would not be valid. Remember, this is totally false, is incorrect, and according to all four schools, the Hanbali, Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, ta'addudul jumu'ah is permissible to have several jumu'ah. And if you want to see this masla academic for the ulama, there's a wonderful book there, Al-Qawlul Mubin fi Akhta'il Musalleen. In there, this masla has been discussed in detail.
Mufti Sahab, what is your opinion on a person going to sajda before the imam?
In Islam, there's no such thing as my opinion, your opinion. Someone came to Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu arda, and asked him, Ma ra'ayuk, what is your opinion on this issue? He was very upset, Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar. He said that Nabi alayhi salatu salam was addressed by Almighty Allah, bima araka Allah. Allah said, what you say, what is your opinion? So that is what Almighty Allah revealed. So for us, we are ordinary mortals, so we don't say and place the question like this and phrase the question, what is your opinion? What is the ruling in Islam? What does the Sharia say? That's a better way of doing things. So remember, people who go before the Imam, do the actions before the Imam, there's grave warning for them. Nabi alayhi salam said, إِنَّمَا جُوِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. The Imam has been put there so that you follow the Imam. فَإِذَا رَكَعَ فَرْكَعُوا. When the imam goes into ruku, then you go to ruku. وَإِذَا سَجَدَ فَسْجُدُوا. When he goes into sajda, then you go into sajda. Did the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, those people who precede and they do actions before the imam, حَوَّلَ اللَّهُ وَجَهُ حِمَارًا, Almighty Allah will make that person's face like that of a donkey. The muhaddisin and scholars of hadith have given two interpretations and meanings. One, literally Almighty Allah would make the person's face like a donkey. So for Allah, it can happen. For Allah to do that, you know, it can happen very easily. Second one would be, when you give example, you say you stupid like a donkey. Even the Quran gives the example, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. So we must remember, it means Almighty Allah would make that person a foolish person. So never should we go into any action before the imam, it should be after the imam.
Exactly 20 minutes past 8 Central African time. We're going to take an ad break, we'll continue the program thereafter, inshallah.
Brothers, we're off air now, the time we were live, now we're dead, you know. So inshallah, you can smile now, you can ask some questions. We'll take your questions.
Okay. Honorable Mufti Sahab, why is there so much of disunity amongst the ulama today?
Brother, it's an excellent question. Remember, whether it's ulama, whether it's public, and last night I was asked this question by senior ulama. I gave one answer and I said, if we face reality, then Almighty Allah tells us, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. The first time we found defiance of Allah's law is with Shaitan and Iblis. He said, I am superior to you, to Adam alayhi salam. And he said that خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارُ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينَ, that you created me from the fire and created him from the dust and clay. So Almighty Allah showed us, once we have the quality of ananiya, I, remember that is the start of decline. You take your husband-wife relationship, you take your family, you take organization, you take ulama, any field. Once we have that attribute, remember, every person who said ana, Almighty Allah destroyed him. Iblis said, ana khayrun min, I am superior, better than Adam alayhi salam, you know what happened. Then we find the Pharaoh, Fir'aun said, ana rabbukumul a'la, I am the supreme being. The same water which he was proud about, wahadil anharu tajri min tahti, that this water, I control it, is under my command. So remember, Allah used it to destroy him. And you find Namrud said, ana uhi wa umit, that I give life, I give death. So we find that Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla destroyed him. So and we should not have this. So the foundation and basis for unity is tawadu, that we give a right preference to others over ourselves, and then you will find unity. As long as it's my way and you catch the highway, we'll never obtain unity, whether it's ulama, whether it's masses, anybody, any organization.
Mufti Sahab, a leading Islamic bank earns interest by virtue of its security with the Reserve Bank. This interest is used to fund Islamic projects and activities with loans. They insist that these loans must be repaid. Can institutions use these funds?
We must remember that when an institution has zakat money and then they give their zakat money out, or they have interest money and then they give that money out, and then for ABC, XYZ organization or bank or whatever you want to call them, makes a condition, we are giving you the zakat money or giving you this interest money, 5,000, 50,000, 5 million, but you have to repay it, that shirt, that condition is null and void. Remember, Islamically, that condition falls away and there's no need to repay it. Islamically, they cannot make such conditions.
Yes, it's a live broadcast of the Q&A from Masjid An-Nur. That's in Mallinson Road Masjid in Asheville, Durban, South Africa. The number for your questions via SMS, 083-943-6139. For international callers, 002783-943-6139. Salams, Mufti Saab, if a woman is pregnant and it is time for her to deliver, her water bag breaks, can she still read Salah, Quran, etc.?
As long as the baby is not born, remember Salat would be compulsory upon you because you are still in the state of Tahira, you are still considered as a clean lady. Obviously, after the birth, then you are in your postnatal and we are in the province of Natal, Natal, it's called Natal, Natal because of birth. So nevertheless, it is, you know, that nifas, and then obviously your Salat is forgiven and maaf and sakit and waved off. But till that time there, Salat would be compulsory upon you. So read Salat in any way that's comfortable to you. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam addressed Imran bin Hussein radiallahu anhu, the Sahabi, father and son, both companions. He said, Salli qa'iman, stand and read Salat, fa illam tastati, fa salli qa'idan, sit and read. If you can't even sit and read, then fa salli ala jambin, then read on your side. So whichever way is comfortable for you, so you must still perform your Salat.
Mufti Sahib, when do you read the manzil and what is the purpose of it? Jazakallah.
The purpose and objective of the manzil is, it protects one, inshallah, from sihr, jadu, witchcraft, and all bad jealousy, envy. We know how rife and rampant it is in our society. Which time should one read it? Any time that's convenient for you. I personally read it after Fajr daily, alhamdulillah. So any day you can read it, and it is all verses of the Noble Quran. Your mothers and sisters who are in your menses, nifhays or nifas, your postnatal, then you should not be reading it. Remember, one point we need to make very clear here is this. To read the manzil is not sunnah. That you can't say Nabi alayhi salatu salam read this daily, but we'll say it is da'bu salihin, it is the pious people, and they initiated this, and therefore it is acceptable, but we should not consider it compulsory or sunnah.
Going to our SMSs, Salams Mufti Saab, my husband gave me one talaqi raji, I was at my parents' house, he then phoned me and told me, I want you back and please, I'll try to get a house. Will you come back to me? Is the talaq revoked? I have not been in contact with him since, but he tells people that he wants to make a home with me. He is too scared to tell his parents as they told him to choose me or them. I am pregnant. Please advise. Jazakallah. Sustain Islam.
In a case like that, we have a scenario, we need to understand the masla itself. You have a couple, husband and wife, living with the mother-in-law, father-in-law. So there some problem arose, the wife is pregnant, the husband issued one talaq, it is talaq raji, a revocable divorce. Now the husband wants to make up because absence makes the heart grow fonder. He realized there's no life without the wife, you know. So in a case like that, so it's very good, brother, our advice to you will be that you should reconcile. So go and rent a house or go buy a house if you have the means. And in that way there, you go to your wife and tell her, no, we'll make it. And regarding your parents to give you an ultimatum like this, you choose us or choose them, definitely unacceptable. Parents cannot do that. And for you to be obedient to your parents in this regard is not necessary. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam taught us a maxim, a rule. La ta'ata li makhlukin fi ma'asyatil khaliq. There is no obedience to any creation when it leads to a sin against the creator. So more so if there's no fault of the wife. So you can't say, no, I dislike her because she speaks this language or because she got this complexion or her nose is too long and so forth. So obviously these are reasons that are unacceptable in Islam. So my advice to you is what the Quran says, وَسُلْحُ خَيْرٍ, reconciliation is the best and you should reconcile with your wife. However, your parents will find it difficult because you're going to move out. So remember that try and get a place near them, visit them daily and take their du'as. Never sever ties, even if they act funny with you initially. If you are sincere, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla would then let their hearts melt. And once the baby is born, they will become grandparents. That will be qurrata a'yun, coolness for their eyes. However, one point I want to make clear, according to your SMS brother, it seems that you or your wife don't understand the real issue of talaq. When you say that I want to take her back and revoke and remove that talaq, it doesn't mean that if you take your wife back, that talaq is cancelled. No. That talaq will still contribute, meaning you as a husband have three talaqs. So if you gave her one talaq now, and this is the first one, so even after you reconcile, you only possess two talaqs. If you gave her previous talaq and you gave her now this one, so this will be the second one, for future purposes you have one talaq. So it doesn't mean if you take your wife back, then everything of the past is just cancelled. No. All that will still be valid, but during the iddat period, and in this case because she's pregnant, so that is still the delivery of the baby, you can reconcile with her, and her permission is not necessary.
Mufti Saab, at an auction, if one were to form a syndicate, thus keeping the purchase price low, and then re-auctioning it privately, is this allowed and permissible in Islam?
Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, لا تباغدوا ولا تحاسدوا ولا تناجسوا وكونوا لله إخوانا. Nabi alayhi salam said, don't have boogs, don't have enmity, hatred for one another. Don't be jealous and envious for one another. ولا تناجسوا. Najas in Arabic means that a person, I'm auctioning this mic here that are in front of me. Now I think Brother Faisal, make me mad, Brother Faisal. I think Brother Faisal is my agent, and I tell him, you mingle and hang around there with the crowd and the customers, potential clients. And every time they bought something, you bought something more. So that is to inflate the price. So remember, Nabi alayhi salam said, wala tanajashu. You can't be having a secret agreement like that. Now we come in as a syndicate, and now we say that no, we will bid against one another to keep the price low. And when anybody tries and bid, we outbid them. So remember, that is not permissible in Islam. In Islam, when we speak of fair trade, this is fair trade. You as a syndicate, you're coming in and you want to hold monopoly. Islam says, كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ. The wealth cannot rotate amongst the wealthy and the rich from you. And look at the intention and the motive. Now you want to get it at a cheap price, and then the syndicate will sell it at the maximum price, and then they will sell it. Easy example. Anybody selling rice here, forgive me. But now you know rice is a gray scarce commodity. The other day I saw here in a newspaper on one of the polls that the price of rice rockets, you know. So now you go as a syndicate and you buy all the rice off at the cheap price. Then when there's extreme shortage, then you're going to re-auction it at a maximum peak price. So obviously this type, even if it's none of food things, the action, the deal is not permissible like that. You must remember it must be allowed, transparency must be allowed. So that is why in Islam, auction is called Bay Umay Yazid. That which means that whosoever wants to bid more, you allow them to bid more. Not that we have. And not only one point they forgot in the question. And that is that sometimes they even tell one of the auctioneers, don't worry, we got a lot of uplang, we'll mak rech with you also. That we'll pump you also a little bit. So we must remember, all these are haram dandas and haram activities, not permissible.
An SMS question, Mufti Saab, what time does Maghrib Salah become Qaza?
According to all four schools, the fatwa is on this. This is the beauty of Islam. Look at the power of Almighty Allah, brothers and sisters. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. We will show them the signs on the horizons. When the sun goes down, then you find that after some time, redness on the horizon. Then you find whiteness, and then you find the darkness. Further time, you just find the total opposite of it. Who can do this? Only Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So once the redness disappears on the horizon, the whiteness enters. Remember, Maghrib time is finished. And that is the fatwa of the Hanbalis, the Shafi'is, and the Malikis, Hanafis, everybody, that Maghrib time is expired and Isha time is entered.
For the effort of Dawah, how can we assure our Christian friends that the hadith has not been distorted and is accurate? How can we verify it? And question related to that, if a Muslim doubts the hadith, what is the punishment?
First and foremost, brothers, for Muslims, when we say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, what does it mean? La ma'buda bihaqin illallah, truly there's none worthy of worship but Almighty Allah and Muhammadur Rasulullah. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger, the final, the last, the most precious, the most beloved to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. For Muslims, we say Surah Hujurat, Surah 49, Almighty Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Only solely, إِنَّمَا comes for حَسَر and قَسَر, that only, exclusively, solely these people are believers, آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ, who bring iman in Allah, وَرَسُولِهِ, in Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Then they have no doubt. Then they have no doubt. So that is the criteria Allah has mentioned. So therefore, to have doubt takes a person out of the fold of Islam. If you say that what is the value of hadith, I ask you a question. Almighty Allah, not one, not two, everywhere in the Quran, wherever Almighty Allah said, Ati'u Allah, be obedient to Almighty Allah, Allah said, Ati'u Rasul. You won't find a single place in the Quran where Allah's name is mentioned, and after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's title is not mentioned. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atiu Allah wa atiu Rasul. Qul atiu Allah wa Rasul. So it shows that how we have to be obedient to Almighty Allah, we need to be obedient to Nabi alayhi salatu salam. If we are interacting with non-Muslims, so before we come to hadith, go to the Quran. Anytime you speak with non-Muslims, any faith, you must remember, ask them, what is your divine scripture? What is your book? So they'll tell you the Bible and this and this. Normally on A, I say, They have so many versions of the Bible that even the versions get confused. So we must remember this type of things here. So brothers, take the Quran Kareem, and then you will find that you have your child, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old daughter, son, millions across the world. And they have by heart committed this book to memory, the most memorized book in the world. So that alone speaks of the authenticity, the veracity, and the authority of the noble Quran. You ask the people who are in the highest places in the Vatican or in the biggest of rabbis in the world, you must remember, you read to us by heart, there from memory, your divine scripture in the original language. That's the key word, in the original language. I say there'll be no hope for the Pope. You must remember this. They cannot do so. So this is the miracle. You want to speak of hadith? I give you from hadith. You must remember that the oldest book extant in the world today, that, and where was it found? There's a book called Sahifa Hammam bin Munabbah, and he was a student of Abu Huraira radiallahu an. Abu Huraira radiallahu an, who was the most celebrated student of Mustafa alayhi salam in hadith. He stayed with Mustafa alayhi salam 3.5 years, almost 4 years. 138 ahadith of his, which he dictated and taught his student Hammam bin Munabbah. 2 manuscripts were found. 1 were found in Germany. 1 was found in Damascus in Syria. And Dr. Hamidullah, he edited them. And all those ahadith were found in Musnad Ahmad. So if you want to come and tell us that hadith was written 200 years after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, it means that person does not understand Quran, never mind hadith. Allah is saying, Ati'ullah, be obedient to Allah, wa ati'u Rasul. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teachings are not verified or they are not preserved, then it means Allah ta'ala is telling us to follow something which is, you know, obsolete or something in a vacuum. How can that happen? So you must believe in hadith, otherwise that person cannot be a Muslim. So we must be very clear on this issue.
Shukran Mufti Sahab, a question from one of our musallis. During travel, is it permissible to combine the Zuhr and Asr's namaz and then the Maghrib and Isha salat?
This is called Jama Baina Salatain. You want to combine Zohar and Asr in Zohar time, or Asr or Maghrib and Isha in Maghrib time or Isha time, like Zohar Asr in Zohar time or Asr time, is fine, it's permissible. According to the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, however there are conditions, before you start the Salat, for example, Zohar Salat, you must make the intention you want to combine. Not that you completed your Zohar Salat and now you say, let's read Asr Salat. Similarly with Maghrib and Isha. So that is Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's. According to the Hanafis, what you need to do is, you are a musafir, you are a traveler, you want to combine sometime in the plane, train, ship, whatever. So you take Zohar Salat and delay it to its last time, the last 2, 3, 5 minutes. You read Zohar at that time, and then you read Asr in the first time. So that is how you combine it. You take Maghrib to its last time, and Isha in its first time. So that is how the Hanafis allow it. Hanafis don't allow that you take both salats and read it in one time, like the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis. Shafi'is say that the journey that you're undertaking must be a permissible journey. A person is going to the casino, a person is going to the escort agency, first he say, let me write 3 Tawaf, and now, then he can't combine all these things. We must remember that he's not entitled to all the concessions which Almighty Allah has given him.
Mufti Sahab, if a woman is breastfeeding and leaves her baby and goes overseas for 3 weeks, is she still allowed to breastfeed once she comes back?
You must remember that breastfeeding does not have a minimum period, and the maximum period is 2 years. Quran says, Surah Luqman, وَفِصَالُهُ فِي آمَيْنِ. Quran says, وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِئْنَا أُولَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ. So the maximum period is 2 years. According to the Hanafis and Maliki scholars and jurors, when a lady, we're not speaking of the biological mother, another lady breastfeed that baby, if they breastfeed little bit, 1 drop, 2 drops, 1 liter, 20 liters, 100 liters, whatever the case might be, they become the foster mother and the child becomes the foster child, irrespective of the amount and quantity. That is Hanafis and Malikis. Wa ummahatukum allati arba'nakum. And when you look at the Shafi'is and the Hanbali scholars, then they say Khamsu Rada'at is mentioned in Bukhari and so forth. At 5 different times that mother has to breastfeed, that woman has to breastfeed, then she will qualify to be the foster mother and the child to be the foster child. So whether there are intervening periods of 3 weeks, 3 months, all that is fine, there's no problem with that.
Shukran, Mufti Saab. Traveling in a vehicle, can you read Quranic ayats from memory without wudu?
Yes, totally permissible, no problem there. In telling your wife, you know, some story, so you read some Quran to her so that she don't fall asleep or you don't fall asleep. You say, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So it's fine that Allah has given you so many bounties and so forth. Or you read some other verses, totally permissible, no problem.
Shukran Mufti Saab, this is a live broadcast of the Q&A from the Masjid An-Nur, that the Mellenton Road Masjid in Asheville, Durban, South Africa. You want to send us your questions by SMS, it's 083-943-6139. For international listeners, 002783-943-6139. We received an SMS from one of our listeners who was inquiring how we can be playing nasheeds and adverts from the sanctity of a masjid. Just for your benefit, brother or sister, the nasheeds and adverts are being played from our studios in Johannesburg and not from the masjid. It's just the presentation of the questions and answers that's taking place in this masjid. It is exactly 20 minutes to 9 Central African time. We'll take an ad break. We'll continue with the program thereafter, inshallah. Mufti Saab, a question that's come in. On flight, you read your salah. When you reach your destination, do you have to repeat the salah?
Remember, you're flying from Umrah, you're going to China, you're going here and there. So once you read your salat, if you read your salat standing, or you are facing the Qibla and so forth, so then you don't repeat the salat. However, if you read salat and you didn't face the Qibla, or for example, that you read sitting, and you know that you were able to read standing, so in that case, obviously, it's better that you should repeat your salat. But remember to have this conception that once you read your salat in the plane, then you must repeat it on the ground. That's totally wrong. The ulama have given a wonderful analogy. When you are, what is the objection? What those people who object, what is the objection? They say that what is the definition of sajda? Sajda means wad'ul jabhati ala al-ard, to place the forehead and all that on the ground. So they say when you are in the plane, you're airborne. When you make sajda, you're not on the ground. So the ulama said, when you read salat on a ship, so now the ship is going, so now you're going from here to Karachi or wherever, or Mauritius. So now when you're in a ship, so when you make sajda, you're not making sajda on the ground, you're making on the water, and the water is on the ground. So similarly, there you are making on the air is on the ground, so it's some of the same analogy. So it's totally permissible to read, and there's no need to repeat the salat. The salat is totally valid. Yes, you didn't face the Qibla or something, then it's a different issue.
Yes, we're broadcasting to you live from the Masjid An-Nur that is in Asheville, Durban, South Africa, and the number for your SMS question, 083-943-6139. Mufti Saab, a question that comes by SMS, Salams Mufti, would like to find out if test tube babies, that's IVF, allowed in the case of being infertile, or if you are unable to conceive at that time due to sickness, then will you be allowed to use a sperm pack?
We must remember that the test tube babies and so forth, all would be permissible with certain conditions. Let's take a case study. A, B, C, X, Y, Z are married 5, 10, 15 years through the conventional normal way that the wife is not being impregnated and cannot fall pregnant and conceive. So now they go and the husband, the doctors tell them that they should use this, you know, the system of theirs. So remember, it would be permissible, but the condition is the sperm of the husband must be used. You can't go to the sperm bank and use that. That's absolutely haram and akin to adultery. You can't be using the doctor or anybody else's sperm. So therefore, you need to go to competent doctors and hospitals and so forth, not any quack, you know. So we must remember that is very important. Second one, we will say that this must be the last resort. Then it would be permissible. And obviously, Quran speaks about making abundant istighfar, making a lot of dua. You don't lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah.
Is there any dua to read if your child is doing hifz?
Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla has made the Quran Kareem easy for memory. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ. According to the vast majority of scholars, Allah Ta'ala has said in the Quran that we have made this Quran easy لِذِكْرِ. So majority of the scholars say zikri means لِلْحِفْزِ, for memorizing. So therefore we see millions of people they're becoming hafiz. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu came to Mustafa alayhi salam, the hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi. He said, Ya Rasulullah, that I cannot memorize. I just remember and then it disappears and vanishes. What should I do? Mustafa alayhi salam told him, Oh Ali, this is what you should do Thursday night, what we call the Thursday night, Laylatul Jumu'ah, the night of Friday. So read 4 rakat salat. So in that 4 rakat salat, you read Surah Fatiha. First rakat, you read Surah Yasin. Second rakat, then you read Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. Then third rakat, you read There, you read Surah Waqia, and fourth rakat you read Surah Mulk. So in that way there, when you read, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla would then preserve, make the Quran hifz easy for you. So these are surahs, and Surah Dukhan you read. So first surah, Alif Lam Mim, first surah, first rakat you will read Surah Yasin. Second rakat you would read Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. Then third rakat Surah Hamim Dukhan. And fourth rakat you would read Surah Tabarak Alladhi. So these are the four surahs that you will read, not Surah Waqia. So these are the four surahs you will read. Now today if we tell people they don't know these surahs, so look in the Quran out of Salat and read it and make dua, Ya Allah, my son, my daughter wants to become a Hafiz. And inshallah, Allah will make it easy for that person, inshallah.
Shukran Mufti Sahab. When a person is not sure in which direction the Qibla is, how does one perform one Salah?
Islam tells us, Islam is a practical and natural way of life. Quran says, فَوَلُّوا وُجُوَكُمْ شَطْرًا, that you face the Qibla. Therefore, to face the Baytullah itself, that's not compulsory. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, when he was in Madinah Munawwara, مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ قِبْلًا, what is between the east and the west, so the southern direction, so that is the Qibla. So that is what we are told. For example, South Africa, northeast, and that is what the Qibla is. So we use tahri. Tahri means we use our own discretion. Wherever you are, airports or traveling here and there, you see when the sun rises, the sun sets, you ask people, and then you perform your salat, and your salat is valid.
Mufti Sahib, an SMS question. Salams Mufti Sahib. My husband says he goes to the casino to de-stress. When I tell him it is haram, he says that he's only going for pleasure and he does not mix this money with his earnings. Can you comment, please?
Almighty Allah addresses this type of issues. Balil insanu ala nafsihi basira. Yet this human being, one side is a masterpiece of Almighty Allah, and on other side is asfal asafilin, the lowest of low. So many a time we commit sins, and now they try and justify it. Balil insanu ala nafsihi basira. So this human being is basira. He knows very well, outwardly, inwardly, is wrong, is vice, is haram. Outwardly, walau alqa ma'adhira. Now take this person. He's using the excuse that no, I want to de-stress. Allah says you want to de-stress, read la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin. When we adopt haram means, you must remember, then that person has joined the shaitan's party. Shaitan comes, zayyana lahumu shaitanu amalahum, the shaitan beautifies this. That same person, let the wife ask him that money, 5,000 rand, 20,000 rand that he spent in a casino, he'll never give his wife. الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ, the shaitan promises you poverty. وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَى, and then commands you go to the worst places. Go to the escort agency, go to the casino, go here to the pub, go here. Why de-stress? And this. So this is how the shaitan plays mind games. So therefore, brother, if you die there and you say you get pleasure, you lose your iman. Understand the secret, the consequences of it. A person involved in vice, and he says, I'm getting pleasure, and he considers it halal, is out of the fold of Islam. So we must understand the consequences of this, so you should make tawbah and repent, and tawbah, tubu ilallah, tawbah nasuha. So that is what they asked Amirul Mu'minin, said Umar. He said that when you extract the milk from the udders of the cow, the milk never goes back. So we don't go back to those places. So that is a sincere repentance. Allah give him and all of us the tawfiq to make tawbah, inshallah.
Inshallah. If your sister is converted into Christianity and passes away, is it permissible to go for her funeral?
Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu salam's son was a non-Muslim. He begged Nabi Nuh, a Nabi of Almighty Allah. He was called Nuh because of his excessive crying. He cried and begged to Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, what about my son? Nabi Almighty Allah said, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. Oh, Nuh alayhi salam, he's not from your family. Our family are those who read kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. I have a biological brother, biological sister, whoever, for example, and they don't read the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, or they read it and Allah forbid, they became murtad, they denounced Islam, they became apostates, then finish, we cut off all ties with them. وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. A person who dies in that state of irtidad, of murtad apostasy, so he goes and is dispatched to Jahannam forever. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Nabi alayhi salam said, Man baddala deenahu faqtuluh. If you're living in a Muslim country and a person becomes an apostate, you kill him, you eliminate such people. So there's no place for such people in Islam. So when he or she died, you got nothing. You don't entertain, you don't go to the house, you don't go to the graveyard, you sever all ties with such people. Al-hubbu lillah wal-bughzu lillah. We love for Allah's sake and we hate for Allah's sake.
Mufti Saab, a question that comes from a listener in Malawi. Salams Mufti Saab, if one touches a leather jacket made out of pig leather, is it necessary to make ghusl thereafter?
Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Kullu ihabin dubiga faqad tahur, that every skin, every hide that has been tanned, that the tanning process took place, it is pure and clean. However, two, three things are exempted. For example, human being. You can't take the skin of human being and tan it. It's not permissible. You tan the khinzir, the swine, the pig, and so forth, and then you tan it, and then you have a jacket, or you have a bag made. Absolutely haram. Quran says, O lahma khinzirin fa innahu ritsun. It is impure. Bumper to bumper, top to bottom, everything, it is haram of it. So, and the third one will be a dog, especially according to the Shafi'i scholars. Shafi'i scholars say, dog is just like khinzir and swine. Is ghusl compulsory after touching it? No, ghusl is not compulsory. You just wash your hands thrice and that will suffice according to the Hanafis and according to the Shafi'is. And then when a dog touches or something, then you wash seven times and that will suffice and then you are clean. You don't need a ghusl.
Mufti Saab, what is the remedy for waswasa of shaitan, even if it's causing, especially if it's causing people problems in their marriage and suspicion is rife?
Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us the last surah in the Quran, Surah Nas, Yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. The function of shaitan is to bring waswasa. The function of the shaitan and sihr and jadu is yufarriquna bihi bayna al-mar'i wa zawji, to cause separation between husband and wife. So it shows that when divorce takes place, therefore in Sahih Muslim is mentioned, every day at Maghrib time the Iblis gets his cronies and asks them what you did. He says that person went to casino, this person committed adultery, fornication, this person committed this crime. He says, okay. One shaitan comes and says that person divorced his wife, he calls him faltazamahu and he embraces him. So overjoyed and happy he is. So we as couples, as married Muslims and so forth, what we need to do is, whenever negative thoughts come, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, wa imma yanzaghannaka minash shaitan nazghun fasta'idh billah. Whenever the shaitan wages an assault, then seek the protection of Allah and be in the state of wudu, and Allah will protect us.
Mufti Saab, an SMS question. Can a woman in the state of haidh cut her nails before she becomes clean for the purpose of cleanliness and safety?
In Bukhari Sharif, there's a tarjamatul bab, there's a heading there, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah brought, Babul Junub Yamshi fil Aswaq. A person in ceremonial impurity, a person needing ghusl, walking around in a marketplace, in the bazaar, nowadays we say malls, whatever you want to say. There he brought the verdict, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, of Atta bin Abi Rabah. Atta bin Abi Rabah was an African person, dark in complexion, the ustad of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. When he was sitting in Makkah Mukarramah, then no one would pass any verdict. He was the maraji, or marji khalaiq. Everyone would come to him. He was an authority on the masail of Hajj. So he passed the verdict that regarding people who are junub, who are in the need of a first ghusl, that yahliqu ra'asahu wa yuqallimu asfarahu, that they can shave their hair, they can shave other people's hair, yuhalliqu ra'asahu, you can read, they can clip their nails, all that. If you come to the madhaib and imams, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal say, a lady in menses, male or female junub, and before you take the bath, for example, now you clip your nails, you remove unwanted hair, all that is permissible. When you come to the Hanafi jurors and scholars, is it permissible or not? Yes, it is permissible. But the Hanafi ulama state is makruh tanzihi. Makruh tanzihi means min babil jawaz. It is permissible, but better to abstain from it. But there's no sin. So it is permissible, but better to do so after you took the ghusl.
Mufti Saab, if one is a revert, does he have to change his surname and name?
The person who sent that question, Allah give you jazai khair, excellent question. We know the arch enemy of Islam was Abu Jahl. His name was Amr bin Hisham. His kunya was Abu al-Hakam. When he became the arch enemy of Nabi alayhi salam, Nabi alayhi salam called him Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. His son Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala became a Muslim. And his surname or his other name remained the same, Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl. So when a male female embraces Islam, there's no need to change the surname. So the person can remain, you know, Ahmed, Jan Piravit, or whatever you want to call. So it's fine. There's no problem with that. So all that is fine in Islam. But when it comes to names, then you must change if it is a name that has got a terrible meaning, nothing to do with Islam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, look at the beauty of Islam. Innakum tud'una yawm al-qiyamah bi asma'ikum wa asma'i abaikum fa ahsinu asma'akum. You will be called on the day of justice by your name and your father's name. Hence choose good names, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. We enter Jannah, brothers and sisters. Nothing of this world will remain with us except our name. So how important it is to give good names. So if the name, the lady embraced Islam, her name is Maria, fine, leave it Maria. Maria Qibtiyya, fair looking lady, whitish in color. The person's name, the male's name is Daniel. So fine, in Nabi of Allah, Daniel. So Daniel was the first Nabi who taught the world to write. Awwalu man rasama. So we must remember that this are, so if the names are acceptable, it's fine. But if it is wayward names, then that person must and should change his name. Oh, her name.
Shukran Mufti Saab, when meeting a brother by embracing, is it three times or once, and which side do you start?
Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, oh, you want the hadith and qawl and fa'al, action and speech of Mustafa alayhi salam, and you take both, you get the answer. Nabi alayhi salam's speech is, inna Allah ta'ala witrun yuhibbul witra fa'utiru ya ahl al-Quran, that Almighty Allah is odd numbers, and He loves odd numbers, so you do it once, you do it thrice, it's fine, there's no problem. Normally, Sahabas, you should do it once. And if you ask that which side must you start, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yuhibbu tayamuna fi sha'nihi kulli. Nabi alayhi salatu salam loved the right hand side in all his affairs. So therefore, everything we do, then we enter our home with the right foot, we leave our home with the right foot, but only like toilet and that we enter with the left. So you go to the right hand side, and that would be the best.
Mufti Saab, is it permissible to sell a television set when removing it from the home?
We must remember, no person in the world, I'm speaking now of alims who understand fiqh properly, will tell you the TV set itself is haram. Otherwise, you must remember that all these airports and everywhere we travel, first thing we go and look at the TV there. So what time is departure, what time is, you know, arrival and all these type of things there. You take today closed circuit TV, everybody, the Muslim shops, everybody got it there. Ulama, so in their business and so forth. So all that you say is acceptable. How it is used, that is the issue. So that is what we need to understand. Today we know 99% of the content, either there's nudity, either there's music, either there's, you know, what and what Allah forbid. So therefore the ulama condemn it, and rightly so, they must condemn it. So the content matter is objectionable. So if a person sells it, you don't say it is absolutely haram, but we will say it is makruh tahrimi, something that is tainted and polluted. So rather get rid of it free of charge is best.
Mufti Saab, are titanium dental implants permitted in Islam as a replacement for missing teeth?
We must remember that if a person has problem with his teeth, then there are two issues here. One is they just put it for what they call aesthetic reasons, just for beauty purposes. One is like gold and all that, then not permissible. And if they do it for medical reasons, so you have dentists, if the dentists say that this is the thing that will last and will not give you problems and so forth, for medical reasons, so then it's fine, there's no problem with it.
It's an SMS question, Mufti Saab. Salams, is your father-in-law still your mahram if your husband dies or is divorced?
We must remember that my mother-in-law used to live with me, so rahimahullah. So in a case like that, the first issue will be son-in-law, mother-in-law. So are they mahram to one another? Yes, they mahram. Quran says, wa ummahatu nisaikum, that the mothers of your wives. And if you take the other way around, the father-in-law and daughter-in-law, so they mahram to one another. Now you come to the second part. Now the wife died, right? So the wife died before the mother-in-law. So what is your relationship with your mother-in-law? She is hurmat mu'abbada. Forever she's a mahram for you. Between you and your mother-in-law, there's never hijab. Or that person, Allah forbid, divorced his wife. So after the iddat, everything, he and his ex-wife, they're total strangers. But he and his mother-in-law, there's no hijab between them. We must remember, because she is in the place of a mother. So that is the same thing you can use for daughter-in-law and father-in-law.
And Mufti Sahib, is it necessary to perform a fresh wudu for every salah, even if it hasn't broken?
We must remember the only people who must make a fresh wudu are those people who are, we call, ma'zureen. For example, a person, male, has a leaking problem, you know, some plumbing has to be done and so forth. So those people there, the men, so now when the salat, now you perform Isha, right? So Fajr time, you stayed awake the whole night, you got your wudu. You can't say that, no, I'm going to read Fajr salat with the same wudu. So for Fajr, you have to make a fresh wudu. That is those people who are ma'zur, who got. The ladies, she got problem, istihada, leaking problem, bleeding problem. So for them, ordinary people, normal people, nothing wrong. So they read, for example, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha with one wudu. Fine, there's no problem with that. It's totally permissible. But if there is water, there's no shortage, no drought, and you make another wudu for the next salat, man tawadda ala tuhrin, kutaballahu lahu ashara hasanat, Almighty Allah rewards that person 10 times, provided that with the first wudu, you did something for which wudu was necessary, and we're not wasting water.
Shukran Mufti Sahib, is exactly 9 o'clock. This is a live broadcast from the Mallinson Road Masjid in Durban, South Africa. We're going to take a quick ad break and then we'll listen to the Isha Azan. Thereafter, we'll continue with the program, inshallah. Mufti Sahib, just to continue with the program, there's a question that's coming from one of our Musallis. Initially, Channel Islam decoders were sold to public on the pretext that it would be a once-off payment for the decoder and thereafter the service would be free. Many, many people purchased these decoders at the time, paying between 1,000 and 2,000 rand for these decoders. Also, many people were kindly sponsored these decoders by family members and friends while under the same understanding that the service would remain free. It was done with the intention of being able to gain dini benefit from such programs as Mufti Sahibs and others. But shortly thereafter, Channel Islam began to charge 60 rand subscription a month to be able to use the service. The real issue is not just the amount of 60 rand subscription, but rather the principle behind the sale of these decoders under the initial misinformation that there would be no monthly subscription thereafter. Today, many people are sitting with these expensive Panasonic decoders, etc., switched off, and those that could afford it have purchased the Radio Islam decoders, which doesn't require any subscription. What is Mufti Sahib's opinion on the issue, and why, and what does Mufti Sahib suggest can be done to remedy this situation, because people feel cheated in buying these decoders, as Mufti Sahib is part of the CIA team?
Jazakallah khair for the query. This year, this kind of queries. No, it's fair. I mean, we entertain all these queries, no problem. I'll hand it over to our brother Umar Farooq. Inshallah, he's the managing director and he knows, I don't know all these figures and all those things. He'll explain to you, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I need to give a short history lesson in order to really answer this question fairly. I want to thank the person who sent this question in, because many people are sitting with that deep down in their heart feeling cheated, that we have cheated them and misled them and led them to believe that the thing will always be subscription free or whatever, for whatever reason it may be. I want to go back 10 years. It's only going to take 5 minutes. I'm not going to give you a full history lesson. 10 years ago, we had no voice as Muslims. I was part of Radio Islam. At that time, I'm one of the founder members of Radio Islam. I started at radio station. We went with the Radio Islam delegation to World Space at that time to inquire how can we make more Muslims benefit with the radio station. We were scared out of our wits when we heard the figures. We had to pay World Space 500,000 rands per month to go on World Space to broadcast so that many people could benefit. Our government wasn't giving licenses to anyone. Frequencies are restricted, were very restricted. And in Durban, Ibrahim Jedward, he was the only person I knew in Durban, because I phoned from Durban and I spoke to Ibrahim Jedward and I spoke to Mufti Zubair Bayat. So Zubair Bayat, for some reason, it didn't materialize. But with Ibrahim Jedward, he applied for a license and the license was issued. It was my advice for that license to be applied for in medium wave, because medium wave travels better than FM. Although FM is better quality, you get bigger distances with medium wave. He got the license, but he didn't utilize the license. Allah knows best. Back in Johannesburg, we were scared of the cost at Radio Islam to broadcast on World Space. I mean, 500,000 rand a month, where are you going to get that money from? And the decoders then was 3,700 rands each, the Panasonic that we're talking about. Anyway, time went on, Radio Islam dropped the idea. My Three of my friends that was also involved with Rage Islam, we decided let's give it a shot. We'll see how we can do it. And like most Muslim organizations, we thought we don't want to be going with our hands in our and our begging bowls every month asking people how are we going to run this radio station. So the model and the vision then was, let's set up a whole lot of businesses and make the businesses pay for the broadcasting. If I look back 10 years, that was also a stupid idea because it didn't work. And we registered a PTY Limited and not a non-profitable organization. That was also, if you look back 10 years ago, we'll do it differently, but we would register a non-profitable organization. When we went on WorldSpace, we took the plunge. We said, Allah knows best, we'll try it. For 2 years, there was we never had the intention of charging a subscription. I used to travel around from mosque to mosque, and I don't have my normal broadcast kit here. And on that broadcast kit is an original sticker of Channel Islam, a yellow and black sticker, which says no subscription. I know because I printed that sticker, and I used to travel around the country with it. As time grew, WorldSpace model for business didn't work out. Now, WorldSpace is an international company. In South Africa, we were the only radio station on them, and they were going to make money and sustain their organization by means of many broadcasters going onto the WorldSpace platform. Their model didn't work out also. So they had to rethink, either go bankrupt or do something else. So they adopted a subscription model. Channel Islam was dragged into it. Either we become a subscription pay station or we lose the platform. We know we said we're not going to charge a subscription, so we went out and we done a survey. 74% of the people that we called said we will accept it and we will pay if we have no other choice. I think 10% said absolutely no ways, and the balance was maybe, maybe not. But only 10% said definitely we feel cheated. And the 74%, alhamdulillah, a little more than that, did subscribe. But Allah knows best. It was never, ever our intention. And if we had the means, we wouldn't have gone that road. Having gone that road, the other decoders became available, and Centec opened up their system of broadcasting, and then Radio Islam went on to the other. For 2 years, and they only went on that to combat us, if I may say so. Before we started Channel Islam also, we went to the Jamiats and we said, I'm a technical person. We know nothing about radio and Islam. We know everything about radio. We know nothing about Islam. We need you to run the radio station for us. They refused to take it up. We had a meeting with the Jamiat in Johannesburg. They refused. They were not interested. Ultimately, we then got ulama to join us, and I think it was about 7 months later that Mufti Sahib joined us, which on Channel Islam, on Asabir, and then with the ulama, and then our radio station ran. But to say that we deliberately and willfully misled anyone is incorrect. Allah knows what's best. We never went out in that manner, and if we did, we can only apologize. Now, I personally went out, Mufti went out, and we also secured, we also thought of the poor, because we subsidized the decoders, 3,700 rand, and what we were selling it for, the highest price we sold a decoder was 2,000 rand on the, depending when the rand was 13 rand to the dollar. We subsidized the decoders all along. And then when the subscription came along, Channel Islam personally subsidized over 700,000 decoders. Not only in South Africa, all around Africa. As we stand here today, Channel Islam owes WorldSpace 2 million rands for a real subscription in what we didn't do, because we got to fork the money out. WorldSpace got upset with us. We used to run the call center for them. The money doesn't belong to Channel Islam, it belongs to WorldSpace. They got upset because we were giving, whoever needed a subscription, we personally gave it. And that is how we ran an account of 2 million rand to them. Today they're crying for the money, and we're dragging them and we're trying to get them to write it off. Inshallah they will, maybe they not, but it's the burden is on us that we will pay it. So to say that we misled you, was deceitful to anyone, I think is totally incorrect, and Allah knows best. And in time, if people are following the news and understanding what is happening, about 6 months ago, Sentech lost their license to broadcast on the Vivid platform. Now we hear that on the news, but we don't understand what's the implications and why they lost their license. The implications is simple. We broadcast on the free-to-air, which is the Vivid decoder, via Sentech. Now they've lost their license, so we've got to find someone else to broadcast that free signal. Radio Islam has to go to find somebody else to broadcast that free signal. It's not going to stay free forever. That is the bad news. Because they lost the license because for 15 years they've been given that platform and they didn't make a success of it. What this means is ETV won the bid for that license. And the challenge on ETV is to make that a paid channel and to make that a success, or else they will lose the license. In 5 years' time, the scenario is going to change. You can't turn around and say Channel Islam and Radio Islam deceived you. The same way like we've got technology today, you've got the brick phone, tomorrow you've got a smaller phone, smaller phone. You discard the previous technology. Tomorrow another technology may also come by where we broadcast on Wi-Fi or podcast or via the cell phone or another means. Then we'll have to go on that platform. It doesn't mean now we've cheated you by giving you this free-to-air decoders. It's we've got to use the technology to propagate the deen, and that is what we are doing. Whatever technology we can find, we will use. And in using it, we're not doing it to deceive you and put you out of pocket, inshallah. Thank you, Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, brothers, this question, you want more details after the program, you can take Brother Umar Farooq. You know him well now. Inshallah, I'll give you more tafsir of him.
Shukran, Mufti Sahab. Minutes past 9, Central African time. You're listening to Q&A being broadcasting to you live from the Masjid An-Nur in Durban, South Africa. The number for your questions by SMS is 083-943-6139. Mufti Saab, we'll start with an SMS question. Salams, Mufti Saab, can Muslims donate blood? Please give reference.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. For Muslims to donate blood is totally permissible. Even the most conservative ulama, if you read Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimullah's book, which he wrote, Insani A'adha Ki Paywankari, in the ending he has discussed the issue of donating blood, and we still remember the dalil and evidence he cited. He said that if you take milk, that how milk is transferred from one person to another person, mother to child, or for example, a foster mother to foster baby. So similarly, you take one liquid to another, and that would be blood. So that also is fine and permissible. If you want Arab ulama, so there are so many books written on this. Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, rahimahullah, has written, and you take other ulama who have written on this. But if you want in Urdu, then Mufti Shafi Sahib's book is freely available.
Shukran, Mufti Sahib. A question that came in Urdu. The gist of the question is, if the cash price is 100 rand and the credit price is 150 rand, is this permissible?
Yes, one of the brothers, Jazakallah Khair, sent question in Urdu. I just translated it quickly now. So if a person sells a merchandise, a certain item for cash price, 100 rand, and for credit he says 150 rand, so that is permissible. However, the better way of doing this is that to keep the price 150 rand. And then you tell the prospective client that if you're buying it cash, I'll give you 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever discount you give. And keep these type of notices in conspicuous places. And that is totally permissible. There's no problem with that.
Shukran, Mufti Saab. Same Urdu question, question number two. To cross a person whilst he's reading Salah, the implications, Mufti Saab.
Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, لو يعلم المار ما بين يدي المسولي, that if a person who is crossing the musulli knew the grave sin that he is committing, لَكَانَ أَن يَقِفَ أَرْبَئِينَ خَرِيفًا, then he should wait for 40 years because his kharif, meaning the season, comes once a year. The hadith is mentioned by Bazar in his Musnad. So the aim here is we need to respect the Muswalli and not just walk past him as though we are in a football field or some soccer stadium or somewhere. And the people who are reading Salat, you also know, should not be reading and performing a Salat there at such places where the entrance and exit is. So we need to be careful about that as well. And when Nabi alayhi salatu salam spoke about the sutra. Sutra is you take some object, for example, now there's a stool or a bench or something, and just place it in front of you. But let's say now a person is reading Salat, and now you want to cross. So where that person is standing, you leave 3 serfs, and then you cross. It's totally permissible. There's no problem with that.
Shukran Mufti Sahab, if a person read Salah and later found out that the compass was faulty and the direction of the Qibla was wrong, does all the Salah that he performed need to be repeated?
If it is within the 45 degree, so 45 degree towards the right or towards the left, so within that 90 degree, 45 degree on either side, so then the Salat would be valid. Nabi alayhi salam said, ma bayn al-mashriqi wal-maghribi qibla, the portion between the east and the west is qibla, this is for people in Madinah Munawwara, the southern direction is the qibla. If it was more than that, then definitely people will have to repeat the Salat.
Is non-religious talking while the adhan is going on permitted?
You must remember that in Islam, everything can be considered ibadat if it is so with a good intention and something permissible. While the adhan is on, somebody parks his car like we had now, so now obstructing somebody, you tell the person, move your car away. So we might say it's non-religious, but Islam would say it's a good thing you did. Imatatul adhan itariq. You remove something which is potentially harmful from the road. So it all depends on what we mean. If we're talking about the soccer score and cricket score, then obviously that is unacceptable.
Question by SMS. A brother lives a few houses from this masjid. He's a regular masjid at this masjid. If he hears the azan and in this masjid and goes to perform his salah at another masjid in central town, is this permissible?
Yes, no problem. The purpose of azan is that you go for salat. So whether you come to this masjid, you go to other masjid, the aim is that you perform and you read your salat.
How often did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam miss the ghair muakkada salah in Asr and Isha?
Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's aim, objective always was taysiran lil ummah, to make life easy for the ummah. Therefore Nabi alayhi salam said, bashiru wa la tunaffiru, that give great tidings to people, do not give them hatred of deen, wa yassiru wa la tu'assiru, and make life easy for people and don't make life difficult. So you take Fajr Salat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would not miss that, the 2 rakat sunnati muakkada before Fajr. Then you take before Zuhur, after Zuhur, Nabi alayhi salam normally used to read it. In journey, Nabi alayhi salam would omit it. Before Asr, sometimes Nabi alayhi salam read, sometimes didn't read. But if you look at the ahadith, this great encouragement, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ صَلَّى أَرْبَعًا قَبْلَ الْأَصْرِ, that Allah's mercy is on those people who read 4 rakats before Asr Salat. So it shows that if you have the time, then read it. But if you don't read, then obviously there is no harm. And if you take it, you will see that people are very busy at that time there. So therefore, taking the people's work, labor, all that into consideration, so Nabi alayhi salam made life easy, similarly before Isha as well. So it is a flexible issue.
Mufti Sahib, how important and what's the significance of the dua after adhan?
We must remember when the adhan goes, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا أَذَنَ الْمُؤَذِّنُ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ الْمُؤَذِّنُ ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. When the adhan goes and repeat the same words of the muazzin, and then you read durood and salawat and salutations upon me. So the first thing we should do is read durood, salawat, salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second dua after adhan, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا وَنَبِيًّا. Third dua after adhan, the shahadatain, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ رَسُولُهُ. All these are in Mishkat, in Targhib wa Tarheeb, Musnad Ahmad. And the fourth dua is the long one you find in a masajid. اللَّهُمَ رَبَّ هَذِي دَعْوَةِ التَّامَّةِ. What is the benefit of all this? Some hadith got halat lahu shafa'ati. Some hadith is mentioned wajabat lahu shafa'ati. That on the day of justice, Mustafa alayhi salatu salam will intercede for that person there. So great virtue for reading these du'as and supplications.
9:20 Central African time. We'll take a quick ad break and we'll continue with the program from the Masjid Nur in Mallinson Road, Durban, immediately after that break, inshallah. Mufti Sahib, a question that's come from one of the Musallis. How can we participate in the Nakba 60? Kindly give some advice and guidance in this regard.
Obviously, we know on the 14th of May, the Israeli, the rogue state we call them, they will then be celebrating their 60 years of independence and the Zionist regime and so forth. For them, they say it's a miracle of the 20th, 21st century. For us as Muslims, we have huge problems. First of all, it is occupied territory. Second, there's no right of return. Third, Masjid al-Aqsa is under threat. Fourth, you can see the condition now in Gaza. I just mentioned that to you just in the starting. So there are huge, huge problems. Will the Muslims win? Yes, we must win. How we know we will win? Just take Surah, the 15th Jews, two places Allah mentions this, the miracle of Quran. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ جِئْنَا بِكُمْ لَفِيفًا. When the final promise of Allah comes, we will bring you in droves and droves. So from South Africa, America, Europe, everywhere, Australia, they're coming there. So it makes it easy for Isa alayhi salatu salam to exterminate them and destroy them. So why must Isa alayhi salam go looking for them? Bring them there. Second place, Almighty Allah says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. Those of you who know Arabic ulama, there's an excellent, excellent work in Arabic. حقائق قرآنية حول قضية الفلسطينية. Every alim should read that book. Every person who knows Arabic should read it. حقائق قرآنية حول قضية الفلسطينية. One of the best books in Arabic written what will happen in future.
What is the current situation in Palestine, especially in Gaza, Muftisa?
Yes, we just spoke about that. We told you there's no fuel going in. The people are all becoming beggars there. There's nothing functioning. People are losing their lives there because, you know, the hospitals, nothing can function.
Okay, staying on Israel, is there any benefit in boycotting Israeli products?
You must remember, we Muslims, if you take the Arab countries, Muslim countries, three-quarter of them have ties, some above the table, some under the table. So boycotting and all that is how strong we are, but we cannot rely on Muslim and Arab governments. They all work in cahoots with the Israeli state.
You're listening to a live broadcast of the Q&A from the Masjid al-Nur in Durban with Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saib. The number for you to send your questions by SMS 083-943-6139. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum. Please advise on the following. I want to know what is the Islamic viewpoint on non-compliance with tax laws and regulations.
In Islam, when we live in non-Muslim countries, or Muslim countries, some of them impose taxation upon the citizens. Imam Malik rahimahullah in those days already used to say that dharaib means taxation, is permissible on those who are super wealthy and super rich and so forth. So that was the verdict of Imam Malik rahimahullah. Looking at our country, South Africa and others, remember we say the actual question should be turned around and rephrased a bit. Is uplang jais? Actually the brother wanted to ask, but he asked like a, you know, curveball. So nevertheless, yes, it is permissible and jais. So you must remember that your cash money and so forth, that, you know, no need for you to show everything. But you must remember you pay your taxes. So how are you going to pay your taxes? You pay your taxes with the interest money. If you look at our government today, you look at most governments, all the governments in fact, the amount of money they waste, the amount they squander, and they're not accountable. So we must remember, you just look at the mess that we are finding ourselves, DC, direct current, and then you find AC, alternate current, and ANC, and no current. So we must remember this, you know, I mean, we're finding ourselves in a huge mess. And no one wants to take responsibility also of it. So why must you give them halal money? There's no need to give them halal money. So give them your interest money, that's fine.
Mufti Sahib, is it true that if you read Surah Jin 41 times, 100 jinns come around you, and if you do not get scared, you will possess one?
You must remember all the business of reading 41 times Surah Jin and 100 jinns will come and so forth. First of all, jinn means that creation that you cannot see. So how will this person be counting all of them? So we must remember this, that to say 41, all this is not mentioned in the Quran and Hadith or anything. What is authentic is mentioned in Tirmidhi. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, one of his characteristic unique features was that he was not only a prophet and messenger to insan. He is a messenger and prophet and a final messenger for jinn as well. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala states, I went with Mustafa alayhi salatu salam. The incident is known as Laylatul Jinn. I went with the master Nabi alayhi salatu salam. Nabi alayhi salatu salam made a circle and said, you stay here. And then I went, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went. So from there, the ulama, they deduce certain things. But for me and you, better just stay away from this. With insan, we got so many problems. We're going to get involved with the jinnat now. So remember, 3/4 of us don't understand these things. So my advice to you, rather worry about yourself and worry about your family and the ummah at large.
Mufti Sahib, does one need to have wudu when reciting the manzil?
All those are Quranic verses, so definitely you need the wudu because Quran says, لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَرُونَ. That's for Quran, you need wudu.
Okay, Mufti Sahib, coming back to the business question, slightly changed this time. Cash price 150 Rand, lay-by price 200 Rand. Is this permissible, please advise?
In Islam, we have a principle called willing buyer, willing seller, that I sold this cup here or this crockery or cutlery. I told the person, see, 100 Rand cash price, and if you want it lay-by, that you're going to pay me every month 50 Rand, so then it's 200 Rand. He accepts it, I accept it, fine, there's no problem with that, it is acceptable.
Most supermarkets mark the item 7 Rand 99, and when you pay 8 Rand, they don't give you any change. Yet when you go to other supermarkets, they give you a 5 cents change. Please comment.
In a case like that, that is called Bay'u Ta'ati. Bay'u Ta'ati means if you gave 8 Rand and they didn't give you the 1 cent and you didn't ask for it also, so it means that it's fine. You accepted it, they accepted it. If that person, you paid 7.99, you're supposed to pay, and you gave 8 Rand or you gave some 10 Rand, so then they gave you 2 Rand plus 5 cents. So actually now you are scoring because it means that they charge you 7.95. So they are taking the loss in that case, you want to call it a loss. So this is called Bay'u Ta'ati, that both parties understand what's happening. And if you want to go on the lighter note, you know, I grew up in an African location. So at that time we used to have half cent. So sometimes there's no half cent. So now you give the person the change, so you give him one chappy also, you know. So that's for the half cent. So the next day is a shop guy, so he comes to the shop and he gives you the money plus one chappy also. So you must remember this.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to listen to khutbas of Jummah or Eid without wuzu?
We must remember that for the person who's sitting there in the masjid or in the muswalla, the Eidgah, and he doesn't have wudu and he's listening to the khutbah, Eid day is no problem because Eid day the salat is read already and then the khutbah will take place. So if that person's wudu broke, the person who's in the audience, he doesn't have to go and make wudu, the khutbah is still valid. But the person for Jummah salat, because then the khutbah is before, if he's sitting there, so then he must go and make wudu because day after the salat, otherwise how is he going to perform his salat without wudu? So therefore during the khutbah, so he must go and perform the wudu and then come back.
Mufti Sahib, question by SMS. Mufti, I have a lot of rats in my shop and they're messing up all the stock. Is there any dua to read to get rid of them?
Whenever we have problem, whether it's rats or whether it's cats or whether it's pets or whatever, so read, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقٍ. The beauty of the Quran, one simple, when look at the meaning, O Allah, I seek your protection, min sharri, from the evil, ma khalaq, whatever evil you have created, O beloved Allah, you protect me from that. So in that way, Almighty Allah protect us. And keep the place clean also, brother.
If a person has a problem memorizing the Quran and cannot remember surahs to recite in salat, can she place a copy of the Quran in front of her while performing salah so that she can read whilst looking into the Quran?
I mentioned the hadith in Tirmidhi of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh, Surah Yasin, and then you read Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, Surah Hamim Dukhan, Surah 44, and Surah Mulk, Surah Tabarak Alladhi. If a person does not know the surahs and they keep the Quran Sharif open and read, is it permissible or not? It is permissible according to the Malikis and the Shafi'is. Hanafis don't allow it. The Hanafis say it's Amal Kathir, and therefore it will not be allowed. Therefore I suggested at that time that just read it looking inside, out of Salat, and that would be the best option.
Mufti Sahib, are unit trusts permissible?
Whether it is shares or whether it is unit trust, then it would be permissible with certain conditions. The core activity of the company must be permissible. For example, it must not be pornography, gambling, and so forth, you know, alcohol. But if it is mining, property, and so forth, so that would be acceptable. Second issue here will be that you must know where they invest. And then you look at the major portfolios. If the major portfolios are halal, then it is halal. Then your interest and all that will come. Obviously, you need to dispose of it. And you have to pay zakat on the share, your capital investment, and the dividends. So that also is compulsory. On both, you have to pay.
An SMS question, Mufti Saab. My brother is making nikah to a Hindu girl with whom he has been living with and has two children from the relationship. She remains a Hindu and he is Muslim. Is this correct? After nikah, a reception is arranged. Must I attend? Also, the mehr is quite substantial amount. Shukran.
First of all, brother who sent this question, we say Jazakallah. Remember, you need to omit the word nikah. Quran Kareem states, وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ. You cannot marry a mushrika. Who can be a bigger mushrik than a Hindu? People worshipping cows and whatever else. So remember, it's absolutely haram. Every moment, every second, they are under the curse and la'nat of Almighty Allah. And to use terms like mahar and all that, we're fooling ourselves. Every child that is born of this illegitimate relationship is a waladu zina, a haram child, illegitimate. The lineage of these children would go to the mother and not to the father. So you, brother, if you consider this permissible, then you also non-Muslim, murtad out of the fold of Islam. Give her ultimatum that either she embraces Islam and then you get married to her, or either walk away and say and speak to Allah, "Oh Allah, I'm walking away from something that I love." And Mustafa alayhi salam said, "Man taraka shay'an lillah, awwadahu Allahu khayran min." Whosoever leaves something for the pleasure of Almighty Allah, Allah will give him something much better.
Mufti Saab, a question from one of our Muslims. What can I think of in Salah to prevent myself from thinking of worldly thoughts?
You don't have to think of anything. Remember, if it's a loud salat, then you try and concentrate on what the imam is reading. Otherwise, you must remember, like in Sirri, Salat, Zuhur, Asr, and so forth, there's a beautiful saying in Urdu, Khyal ka le ana. You don't bring thoughts. But khyal ka ana, if thoughts come on their own, then it's no problem. So if the thoughts come on their own, and they're the flesh, and they'll go away, so there's no problem. But we should not be thinking, now after Zohar, I got this appointment, I must meet this person, I must go to this person, this shop. So that is unacceptable.
A question by SMS Mufti Saab. Salams Mufti Saab, please can you advise what dua I can read? Because right now I'm going through a court case for my house, Jazakallah.
Regarding the previous question of salat and concentration, those people who cannot concentrate, we call it talbis e iblis. The shaitan is coming and confusing them and blowing their fuses. So you should read what the hadith tells us in Mishkat Sharif, out of salat, before salat, after salat. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from khinzab. K-H-I-N-Z-A-B, khinzab. So in that way, Almighty Allah protect you. Likewise, those people who have problem with wudu, they can't remember how many times they wash their limbs, or they get doubt whether wudu is valid or not valid. So there the shaitan is called walahan. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi. So beg Almighty Allah and say, "Oh Allah, protect me from walahan." Regarding the brother who's going for court case, it depends what is a court case, brother. If you kill someone, or you rob someone, or did something wrong, then obviously our advice to you will be, وَلَا تَكُنْ لِلْخَائِمْنِينَ خَسِيمًا. We cannot be helpful in assisting people who are khain and who are wrong. وَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ. And seek the pardon and forgiveness of Allah, admit your guilt and finish. But if you are the person who's the aggrieved party and you feel you are sure about it that you are innocent, then whenever we are in difficulty, read Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. This is the beauty of Quran, Surah 3, verse 173. If a person, a nation reads that, Allah is sufficient for me, Allah is the best of wakeel. We say we must take our wakeel, lawyer, attorney, and barrister, and whatever. The best wakeel is Almighty Allah, the one to take care of our affairs. The next verse says, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٍ. You will come back with the bounty of Allah, and through the grace and mercy of Allah, no harm would touch you. So this is the promise of Allah.
Mufti Saab, is it just to go to the gym?
We must remember that if you take today's gym, for men also it's not jais to go. One side is music there, second side is the way the people are dressed, three-quarter naked, then the intermingling that goes on there, then what intention you're going for. One chap tells his wife he's going for gym, but he's going more to check things out there. So we must remember, Almighty Allah says, Ya alamu kha'inatal a'yuni wa ma tukhfi sudur, that Almighty Allah knows the eyes that are disloyal, and the motives we have in our hearts. So it's clear in the Quran. Quran says, "Qul lil mu'minina yaghuddu min absarihim." Oh, tell them, Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam, to lower their gaze, wa yahfadhu furujahum, and protect the private parts. For women, how can we allow them to go to the gym? One is the music, one is that now they will bend their bodies this way, that way. You want to do exercise, you want to remain slim and trim, so buy your home machines and do it at home, husband and wife, mashallah, jump together, so all these type of things. So you do exercise like that. What do you have to go to these people there?
Salam, Hazrat Mufti Sahab, can a lady wear imitation and 9-carat gold rings? If no, then why not?
We must remember here there are 2-3 different issues. Issue number one is imitation jewelry for females. Permissible or not permissible? Permissible. So whether it is bangles or whether it is lockets and chains and whatever else. So that imitation jewelry permissible. Second one is rings. Is that permissible or not permissible? Then the Hanafis say for females it must be gold and silver. Hanafis say. Shafis and them are much more flexible. It can be anything for females. For men, the rings must be silver only, hadith in Tirmidhi. That is according to Hanafi, silver only, must not exceed 4.86 grams of silver. Ahsanul Fatawa has the whole detailed fatwa. And according to Shafi is, any ring for male and men would be permissible beside gold. So that is the verdict of rings and jewelry.
A certain halal certifying body has certified certain products from Israel as halal. When questioned, they say our job is only to say halal or haram, not to make what is halal haram, using ayat of Quran saying, make not halal what is haram. Is this justifiable? Salams.
We must remember to quote the Quranic ayat, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu lak. That, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not make haram that which Almighty Allah made halal. When we want to justify something, then we don't just use the Quran for our own purposes. We say selectively that this is halal. You need to study Quran, Sunnah holistically. Ask any organization, ask any alim, that if you have a war with the opposing party, and can you sell them things, for example, guns, ammunition, all these things, it's permissible. You are at war with them. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ Do not cooperate with sin and transgression. So similarly for us as Muslims, to go and certify such people who today don't allow petrol to your children. And then we want to say it's permissible. No. End of the day we condemn it and we will say that the halal certifying body is just there to make money and we condemn it totally.
If a person uses gel or hair wax and makes wudu, will the wudu still be valid?
If certain gel or whatever else is used today, you know, people, they wear, our youngsters, they look and wear such gel. When you look at them, you think they look at the sort of shaitan and all the hair is spiked up. So you must remember, if the gel is such, it prevents the water from seeping through, then that type of gel and whatever else is totally haram, because the wudu, the ghusl, so many implications, the salat would not be valid. So in a case like that, we will say it's not permissible.
Mufti Sahab, masla about smoking.
Alright, so they're still carrying on. So nevertheless, regarding the Arab ulama, like the Saudi ulama and them, they say it's totally not permissible. They got many boards showing at-tadkhinu haram, smoking is haram. The dalail, the evidence they give is very strong. Number one is you're squandering money. Innal mubazirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. That those who squander money are the brothers of shaitan. The Quran says, kulu wa shrabu wa la tusrifu. Eat and drink and don't waste. And this is wasting. Third one, Mustafa alayhi salam gave a maxim and mentioned a rule. La dharara wa la dirab. That don't cause harm to yourself and don't cause harm to others. Every person today will tell you the harm of cigarette and so forth to oneself and to society. However, most of the ulama in Indo-Pakistan and others, we ourselves, we say makruh tahrimi, that rather you abstain, and if you continue, then it is considered to be sinful.
It's exactly 20 minutes to 10 Central African time. We shall visit the marketplace and we'll continue with the Q&A program from the Masjid al-Nur in Durban immediately thereafter, inshallah. Mufti Sahib, just to continue with the questions, is it permissible to have a TV only to watch sport?
Remember that if you study the Quran, you will find Almighty Allah says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ Remember this verse always, it's very good, it gives us a lot of compass and direction. They ask you, Ya Rasulullah, about khamar and maysir, about alcohol and about gambling. Now why did Allah couple the two? If you study khamar, alcohol, and you study gambling, you will find you start with little and then it is addictive. You can't stop. Then in front, Quran says, قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ That is a huge sin in that, and it's benefit also. But what is the law? وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا The sin is much more compared to the benefit. Today, any person who has common sense, sometimes common sense is not so common, you know. So who has common sense, today who can say the harms are not more? If you just look at your child is masoom, put him in front of the TV and you will see the subliminal messages sent to him. Then what you see, you want to imitate. So you find the very fabric of society. You take husband-wife relationship. Husband is sleeping with his wife, he's fantasizing of the woman he saw. The wife is sleeping with her husband, she's fantasizing of the actor she saw. So the harm it causes to our children. And then one of the greatest faculties Allah gave human being, thinking. TV destroys that. You don't think. You only know how to see, but you can't use the aqal. So you ask any professor, he will tell you there to study these type of things there. So therefore, to say only sports and you will not go further, remember that is just wishful thinking and not acceptable that thinking.
Mufti Sahib, the position regarding people leaving the masjid as soon as the imam makes salam.
Remember, it is permissible to make dua every day, 5 times a day with the imam and that. Nabi alayhi salam never ever did that, nor did the sahabas ever do that. But that does not mean you can't make dua. In Tirmidhi Sharif's commentary, Tuhfatul Ahwadi, Allama Mubarak Puri, rahimahullah, said in a wonderful discussion, 5 ahadith he mentioned on this. So sometimes Nabi alayhi salam made dua, sometimes they didn't make dua. So if people want to walk away straight after the Jamaat Salat, so that is permissible. But that doesn't mean we must omit our Sunnat Salat, for example, after Maghrib or after Isha and so forth.
Yes, you're listening to Q&A from the Masjid-e-Nur, and of course it's with Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain. If you want to send us your questions via SMS, 083-943-6139. Mufti Sahib, salams. What is the reward for losing your only child who is a daughter and she's 16 years old?
When a person loses a daughter, then remember, if they are masoom and they are minors, then there's great, great virtue. And the virtue would be that tomorrow on the day of justice, they will intercede. Almighty Allah wants us to be successful. The child will come to Almighty Allah and say, "Oh Allah, I'm not entering Jannah." Allah asks the child, "Why are you not entering?" Allah knows everything. He says, "I want my parents to accompany me and enter Jannah." Allah says, "Go fetch them and take them to Jannah." So imagine the mercy of Almighty Allah, wa rahmati wa siyat kulla shay, my mercy encompasses everything. Your daughter passed away and she's 16 years old. Now listen to the verses. Wa bashiri sabirin, glad tidings to those people who exercise patience. What is patience? Patience is we don't complain to humanity. If you complain, yes, complain to Allah. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu salam lost his handsome, beautiful Yusuf alayhi salatu salam many years. Then he came back and he complained. What did he say? Innama ashku bathi wa husni ilallah. I complain to you, O Almighty Allah, my grief, my sadness. Allah called it sabrun jameel. So if you complain, complain to Allah. Ya Allah, you took my beautiful daughter away. Now you give me that patience, you give me that endurance. And when you think of the beautiful child, then say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." We belong to Allah, and to Allah is a return. Just look, you women especially, you don't know this because you don't read the Salatul Janazah normally. So Islam is so strict on monotheism. Islam says you cannot have certain objects in front of people that are, you know, resembling a god or idols, Allah forbid. But when it comes to Salatul Janazah, we place the mayyit in front of the imam, because it is a gift back to the ultimate owner, and that is Almighty Allah. And therefore, when calamity strikes, we say, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." The 3 benefits Allah mentions in the Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتُ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, blessings from Allah, وَرَحْمَةً, mercy from Allah, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ, there is guidance, those people are guided. 3 things you should do: make dua for the deceased. 2nd one, give charity. The best charity is water. And the 3rd is any nafil ibadat, salat and charity, and you know, fasting, tilawat of Quran, dhikrullah, that you transfer the thawab to the deceased.
Shukran Mufti Sahib, we inundated with questions via SMS, but I'm going to deal with those from the Musallis right now. During our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's last Hajj in Muzdalifah, our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dua was accepted, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate the oppressed from his treasures and not take anything away from the oppressed all. So why do we keep on hearing that the oppressor will pay the oppressed on the day of Qiyamah?
That does not mean that we should continue oppressing. That means that if Allah wants, then that is what Almighty Allah would do. But we as human beings must try our level best, because Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla sent Nabi alayhi salatu salam to inform us. One easy example, يُغْفَرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ, hadith in Sahih Muslim, that the shaheed who made a supreme sacrifice and he gave his life in the path of Almighty Allah, all his sins are forgiven except debts. So it shows hukukul ibad is of paramount importance, so that person has to ask forgiveness of that person there, and then Almighty Allah, if he wants to, it is not a general rule that in all cases it would happen, so therefore it is emphasized and re-emphasized.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is quite voluminous, but I'm going to try to just give you the gist of it. It says that my wife is deeply religious, my family is very liberal, and they're drifting apart because my wife does not participate in family activities because of their liberalness. I would like for there to be more muhabba between my family and my wife, and I, as I feel, my wife and I are drifting further and further away from my family. Please advise.
Brother, when you married your wife, why did you marry her? Did you marry her for her beauty? Did you marry her for her wealth? Did you marry her for her piety? Mustafa alayhi salam said, "Fasfar bidati deen," that you will be successful if you made deen the criteria and the priority number one. Everything else is secondary. So if you are drifting away from your extended family because they want to take you to the path of shaitan, so that type of drifting away is not something objectionable in Islam. You should influence the lives of others and not get influenced by them. So that is what Islam teaches us. And if you're getting influenced towards liberalism or towards freedom, towards this ism, that ism, so then we need to take stock of ourselves. Some soul searching is required. So you should be indebted to your wife. She is trying to practice on deen in this difficult days and time. So you should be the one to enhance and give her support and so forth. Not tell her that you are becoming an outcast and you are causing, you know, rows and ructions in the family and so forth. So you and your wife cement your marriage, and then try and influence the lives of your family. Speak to them on a one-to-one. If you're sincere, you make dua, Almighty Allah would accept it, inshallah.
The next question via SMS. Salam, can we read namaz while the car is moving? And it goes on to say, and if you are driving, but I think it's probably if you are going on a drive.
If a person is in a car while the car is moving, yes, you can read Salat if it is Nafil Salat. After the program, I'm going to Ispingo Beach to my sister's place, and now I want to read Tahajjud Salat. So while the brother is taking, you know, the right indicator, so now I just carry on my Salat, and he make left indicator, I make salam to the right or whatever, it's fine, there's no problem like that. So to read Nafil Salat is totally permissible. You don't have to worry about Qibla, you don't have to worry of standing, you don't have to worry of Ruku, Sajda. Nabi alayhi salam read, Aina ma tawajjahat bihi, wherever the animal was facing, meaning the camel which Nabi alayhi salatu salam was riding on, so that day Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam performed Nafil Salat. If you are speaking about Fard Salat, then you must disembark. You have to face Qibla, you have to stand, all these are conditions. So we need to draw that distinction and dichotomy between Fard Salat and voluntary Salat.
Mufti Sahib, what is the purpose and significance and reason for giving mehr, and what can the bride use his mehr for?
Once I was in a seminar and an old person, Baji, nice white beard, he asked me, for what must you pay mehr? So I said that way, I'm going to give him a long philosophical answer. I just said, no pay, no play, Baji. So he understood properly. So you must remember that Quran uses the term, فَمَسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ فَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ. The istimta', you're going to take, the benefit you're going to take from this lady, what a sacrifice she made. She left her wife, she left her parents, she left her place of her birth, she left the environment which she was accustomed to. All that she made the sacrifice to spend the remainder of her life with you. Is that not a big sacrifice? So therefore, pay her something, cash or kind, and in that way there, then you take istimta, you take benefit from her. So that is the rationale. For what can a lady use it? She is the sole owner of it. She can use it for anything permissible. And remember, for us as husbands to make big, big eyes and tell her, give me back that money, haram. Al-a'idu fi hibati kal-kalbi yaqi'u thumma. يَعُودُ فِي قَيْئِهِ. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Nabi alayhi salam said, people who give a gift, and mahar is a gift, marital gift, وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِنَّ نِحْلَى. Now you demand and take it back by force. Remember the example Mustafa alayhi salam said, is like the dog vomits, and then the dog goes to that vomit and licks it. So that is the example.
Shukran, Mufti Saab, I had to leave my hometown and go on safar for 1 week beyond 77 kilometers. I therefore performed the Qasr Salah. However, in between my journey, I had to come back to my hometown for 3 hours only and go back. In this time period, it was time for Zuhr. Do I perform Qasr or the full 4 rakats?
When a person leaves his hometown or her hometown and it's 78 kilometers or more, 48 miles or more, so you are a musafir. And when you are traveling on the way back, you musafir. Now tomorrow I'm going back to Johannesburg, so remember I'm musafir. Now you enter your hometown, whether you enter for 5 minutes, 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, and it's salat time, you must read full salat. The brother entered the hometown for 3 hours, it was the whole time, you must read full salat. That is your watanul asli, your hometown. So there no discount, no concessions.
Mufti Saab, your comments and views on reading the English Quran.
You must remember that Quran is for everybody. Quran says, Hudal linnas, it is a guidance for humanity. But Surah 62 verse 2, the first addressees and students of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam were Arabs mostly. So their mother tongue was Arabic, yet Quran says, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Mustafa alayhi salatu salam's function was to teach them the Quran. So many a prophet messenger came and no book came. But never it happened that a book came and there wasn't a teacher. So always as a prophet, there was someone to teach. So for people to think that we just sit with a translation Quran in Urdu, Arab, in Urdu, English, Afrikaans or something and we will understand. No. You will understand certain things, but not the whole Quran. And you can't take a wrong message as well. So therefore you need to go to the ulama. But is it permissible? Yes, it is permissible. Especially like the examples and the stories that Almighty Allah has mentioned, it is acceptable.
Mufti Saab, it's an adult question. When is it preferable to stop having marital relations with your pregnant wife?
Remember that in Islam, your wife is going to give birth tomorrow, the person can have conjugal rights today, as long as there is no harm to the wife or to the fetus, so Islam allows that. But normally from a medical perspective, we say that it's better that, you know, just now you crush her and a lot of damage takes place and whatever else. So therefore, it is a medical thing, discuss it with your doctor and you practice, you know, prevention is better than cure. But if the person continues right till the last day, for example, tomorrow she's giving birth and today you fulfill your rights, so that Islamically is permissible, you can't say it's haram or something.
The Khatib said that Adam alayhi salam was created from dust, while Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam was created from light. Is this true and can you comment?
Yes, Almighty Allah says, خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَابٍ Nabi Adam alayhi salam, Almighty Allah created him from dust, and خَلَقْتُهُ بِيَدَيَّ Almighty Allah says, I created Adam alayhi salam with my own hands. The hands of Almighty Allah does not mean like the hands of any creation. Everything of Almighty Allah is unique. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ Regarding Mustafa alayhi salatu salam being from Nur, we must remember that the Quran says, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورُ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ So yes, Nabi alayhi salatu salam is Nur in the sense that every lesson, every teaching of Mustafa alayhi salatu salam has Nur. To say, أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نُورِ That hadith, remember according to the vast majority of scholars, that hadith is not an authentic hadith, it's very, very weak hadith. So therefore, we need to be careful when quoting it.
Mufti Saab, what are the rulings with regard to organ donation while alive, example one kidney, and organ donation after death, example heart, cornea, etc.?
If a person donates while he or she is alive, is it permissible or not? The vast majority of scholars say it's permissible, and the book, the Majmu'ul Fiqh al-Islami, the Fiqh Academy, which has the leading jurors of the Muslim countries, they all have passed the fatwa, 99% of them is permissible. However, there are conditions. For example, you can't sell anything. You can't make business out of it, selling the kidney, selling this, selling that. That's not permissible. Second one, you can't donate while you're alive such a major limb, tear or part, that you yourself will die in the process. So that would not be permissible. Third one, the person to whom you are giving it, it must be the last option for that person there. So then all it will be considered as permissible. After death also it will be permissible. And remember, many ulama who have written fatwas in Indo-Pakistan before what Adam-e Jawaz not permissible, many of them have made ruju and have retracted that. If you write to Mufti Rafi Usmani, who is the Grand Mufti now of Pakistan, he will also inform you about it.
Salam, Mufti Saab, for how many days can a musafir read Qasr Salah away from home for kilometers greater than 80 kilometers?
As far as the distance goes, it is 78 kilometers or more, 48 miles or more. Regarding the duration, if a person enters, now I came to Durban on Thursday, so remember, if a person stays in one place, staying in one place means the mabit. You sleep every night in that area there, in that place there. So if you stay for 4 days, 4 nights, 4 full days, 4 full nights in one place there, so then that person must read full salat, and that is the verdict of the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis. According to the Hanafi scholars and jurors, they say that 15 days or more, if you stay in one place, then you made intention to stay there, then you will read full salat. So in other words, if you stay in a place for 3 days and less, then according to Shafi'is, Malikis and them, you read Qasr Salat, although you can read full Salat according to Shafi'is, Malikis, even when you musafir. According to Hanafis, if you stay in a place for 14 days or less, so then you will read Qasr Salat, and to read Qasr is compulsory according to Hanafis, unless you are following the resident imam.
Salams Mufti Saab, what dua do we read when a child has a temperature? Wassalam.
Whenever our children are sick, remember that there are so many du'as. Bukhari Sharif mentions, read Surah Fatiha 7 times and blow on them for any person who's sick. And for children especially, remember Bukhari Sharif mentions a wonderful, wonderful du'a. And there it is Mustafa alayhi salatu salam addressing the sahabas and teaching them. See, Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu salam would read the following dua for his 2 sons, Nabi Ismail, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salatu salam. I, Mustafa alayhi salatu salam, read this dua for Hassanain, Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu ma. A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tamma, min kulli shaytanin wa hamma, wa min kulli aynin lamma. A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tamma. I see the protection of Almighty Allah through His complete words. Min kulli shaytanin wa hamma, from every Satan and every type of thing that is harmful and poisonous. Wa min kulli aynin lamma, and from every evil eye. And regarding children, this is very, very rife and rampant. So therefore, wonderful dua, read on them and blow on them.
Mufti Sahib, why is it better to stand in the last saf for Janaza Salah?
Remember that it is according to the Hanafi school, when you read first salat, then you read salat in the first saf, khayru sufufi rijal awwaluha wa sharruha akhiruha. When you read salat behind the imam, then you read in the first saf, that is the best. And the worst saf is the one at the back. But when it comes to janaza salat, the Hanafi say that the second saf, third saf, fourth saf, the safs at the back are better, because the janaza salat is farz-e kifaya. So if a person reads, 2-3 people are reading, so he can say, now what must I go and read? As it is, if I don't read, I don't get sin. I'm absolved of it. So this is a motivation and encouragement for that person. So therefore, the Hanafi scholars say, in Janaza Salat, if you read in the last serve, second last serve, you get more reward also.
Shukran Mufti Sam. I think that was the last question we could entertain for the live broadcast. Just to thank our host, that's the Imam and the trustees of the Masjid An-Nur. We say shukran to you from Channel Islam for having hosted us here this evening. I want to thank our engineers in Durban or at the Masjid, that's Brother Amin, and at the Johannesburg studio, Brother Zakir Malyana. Just to repeat the Islamic economic indicators before we round off. The Nisab of Zakat, 3,105 rands and 87 cents. Meher-e Fatimi, 7,764 rands and 69 cents. The minimum mehr according to the Hanafi mazhab is 155 rand 29 cents. According to the Maliki mazhab, 53 rands. And there is no stipulated mehr, minimum mehr according to the Shafi mazhab. Mufti Sahab, shukran for having joined us on Q&A live this evening from the Masjid An-Nur in Asheville, Durban, South Africa. And we also say shukran to our Muslims for having joined us here this evening. We return you to our Johannesburg studio, and from myself, Faisal Suleiman, and the Q&A team at the Masjid An-Nur, it's Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Brothers, we're off air now, but I see you've got a lot of queries here. You know, you play sometimes, you have extra time. So we'll go into extra time, 15 minutes, we'll give you, inshallah. We'll just try and cover as many questions. Quickly, we'll do it, inshallah.
Ji. Mufti Sahab, when thanking someone, is it fine just to say Jazakallah, or should you say Jazakallahu Khair?
The word Jazakallah is a neutral word. Jazakallah can mean reward to you, can mean punishment to you. So therefore, to say Jazakallah is incomplete. Nabi alayhi salam said, when you say Jazakallahu Khaira, faqad ablagat thana. You have praised that person abundantly. Therefore, even our children, we shouldn't teach them Jazakallah only. Teach them Jazakallahu Khaira.
What was Dawud alayhi salam dua in sajda? What was Dawud alayhi salam's test when he made this dua? You mentioned this on Sayyid Tafsir last week, Wednesday.
You must remember that day the Tafsir played by mistake. There were gremlins in the system. It wasn't supposed to play. Surah Waqia was supposed to play. Almighty Allah mentions the test of Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu salam. And then in Surah Swad you have the sajda there. The test was that a mudda'i mudda alayhi came, a plaintiff and a defendant came, and he only heard what the plaintiff said and he passed his verdict. So Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla then informed him that that is incorrect. So he went into sajda and he begged pardon to Almighty Allah. So astaghfirullah. So that is the gist of it, that you beg Almighty Allah. And when you are in sajda, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّي وَوَسَاجِدٌ فَاجْتَهِدُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَاءِ that فَقَمِنٌ أَيُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. The nearest the servant, the slave comes to Almighty Allah is whilst he or she is in sajda. So exert yourself in that posture position and beg Almighty Allah, your du'as will be accepted.
Mufti Sahib, could you give us some nasihat on unity as Muslims? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and grant you a long life, inshallah.
JazakAllah khair for all the du'as. Remember that unity can only come about with two, three things. Number one is that we ourselves consider ourselves inferior and we consider others superior. Second, we make salam to everybody. Third one, that we try and unite on haq. You can never unite on batil. So always remember these two, three principles. Number one is there must be tawadu. Second one, the unity must be on haq, not on batil. And the third one, the salam element must become in and performing salat with one another and so forth.
Musalli is going into ruku and sajda before the imam. Your comments, please.
We discussed that. Hawwalallahu wajhahu himara, Almighty Allah turns that person into a donkey. We mentioned that.
And if the imam goes into ruku and sajda and then he says Allahu Akbar, which is the correct way?
You must remember the imam, this is called takbir-e-intiqalat. Takbir-e-intiqalat means if you study the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu salam, yukabbiru wa huwa yahwi. Nabi alayhi salam used to make takbir whilst bending. So remember that, that is the proper. Sometime we find, when we were studying in Karachi, Pakistan, Sheikh al-Azhar and Sheikh Mahmud al-Halim and great, great ulama came. And then the imam read, for example, like Isha Salat. So it was a, you know, 4 rakat Salat. And used to read very well. One of the Egyptian ulama, they told Hazrat Binuri rahimahullah, he was a giant himself, great muhaddis and scholar. So therefore they came to the madrasa because of Hazrat Binuri rahimahullah. So Hazrat Binuri asked him, we were witness to this. How was the Qari sahab? Now you're asking the Egyptian about Qirat, you know, they are the masters, the best readers in the world. So they said, no, your Qari sahab reads well, but one mistake he's making. So they asked, what mistake he's making? They said, his takbir-e-intiqalat is wrong. So takbir-e-intiqalat means, for example, after 2 rakats, you know you're going to sit. So the imam must not say, Allahu Akbar. You create the impression that you're going to stand. So you say, Allahu Akbar. But you're standing from the second, after the 3rd rakat, then you say, Allahu Akbar. So it shows these are finer points of imamate the imam should take into consideration.
Mufti Sahib, the last question that I have is, if you're a musafir, can you read your sunnah salah?
If you're a musafir, then you just break down each salat, fajr salat. You should read and must read. Must read meaning that you should. Nabi alayhi salam would not omit it. That is akadu sunan. Akadu sunan means that the most emphasized sunnah is the 2 rakat sunnah of fajr. Therefore, you read kulli al-kafirun, kulli wallahu had after surah fatiha in safar and hadar, whether you're in your hometown or whether you're traveling. I am traveling now, but I read it, alhamdulillah. So you must remember, Zohar, you just read 2 rakats, Asr, you read 2, Maghrib, you read 3, Isha, you read 2, and then Hanafis only state, you read Witr Salat. Shafis, Malikis, Hanbalis, you omit your Witr Salat, it's fine and acceptable. You read it, it's fine. And Shafis say, you can read 1 rakat, 3 rakat, 5 rakat, right up to 11 rakats. So Shafis say, Witr, 1 rakat minimum, 11 rakats maximum, 3 rakats the best. If you musafir, it's best to read it. If you don't read it, there's no sin upon you.
Shukran, Mufti Sahib, that rounds up the questions, if you could...
JazakAllah khairan to all of you, brothers, sisters, for the questions. Obviously, we can't cover all, because the people, the ummah is very hungry, you know. But make dua that Almighty Allah accept us. I'm the first one to say, we have many, many shortcomings, and remember that we try our best. One question came here, our brother Faisal didn't ask it, but I'll ask it. My brother say, why am I with General Islam when women come on air? You must remember, your point is valid. There's no question about it. We don't have to make Mickey Mouse business and all these type of things here. So, my If you take our pious people, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, who was a grand Mufti and he was a giant of our time, I met him personally, Alhamdulillah. He used to go on Pakistani radio and he used to make Dars-e-Quran. He completed the whole Quran. On your houses today, you got Ma'ariful Quran. So you, in Urdu, and now it's translated in English. So you must remember, the catalyst for that tafsir was the tafsir he made on radio. So you must, and you know, if you know Pakistan, the whole day music used to play and all this kind of thing. So people used to object on him to Mufti Shafi Sahib. Now you go there. He says, see, my slot, I do the job and finish. So if you ask me why am I with Channel Islam, I always say openly and I say it on air. It's not off air I'm saying it. I say it on air. There are 101 shortcomings. Remember that. We don't hide from this. And therefore we ask you, we accept your questions. So we must remember that there are 101 shortcomings. But if you ask me, if you put on a percentage scale, is 70-80% beneficial? I'll say yes. And the harm or the shortcomings, we will say 15%, 20% and so forth. So we always apply the usul and the principle of kathratul manafi, that what is more beneficial. So remember the ideal, if you don't have the woman, 100% we agree. But to say a woman cannot teach at all, that's wrong also. And I'll give you the reference. Quran says, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَى الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِي مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. There's ulama present here, and if you come to my house, I will show you. You remember that it's called Ahkamul Quran. It's in Arabic. It's Jil Khamis and Sadis, the 5th and 6th volume. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah wrote that, and all the verses that are in those, that part, 4 or 5 ulama were given certain parts of the Quran, and then they had to write the laws. So the question came about, hal, the whole thing is in Arabic, so the sawtul mar'a, the voice of a woman, is it awra or not awra? There's a question. So Mufti Sahib wrote there, sawtul mar'a laysa bi awra. Mufti Shafi Sahib. This, I'm quoting verbatim. That the voice of a woman is not awra. And then he gave the incidents of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, all that teaching men. Remember, I'm not justifying that for our radio. What happens on our radio is definitely annex. They laugh and they giggle and do all the funny things. That is condemned, and I condemned it many times on air. So remember, those of you who listen, you will know that. So I'm saying, it's better we don't have all these things here. But then if you ask me personally, then what I'm doing there, remember we are there, and I travel quite a bit with Allah's help. Remember, I can see the benefit myself, how many people are learning all. You, the question that just came now, is in front of you the question came. What was the dua of last week Wednesday in Surah, the Dawud alayhi salam story? I can tell you 80-90% some women sent it. That tafsir wasn't supposed to play. By mistake, they made a mistake, they put the wrong one in. So my wife told me they got the wrong tafsir on. So I started, for Allah's help, 22nd January. Today, or 22nd January, I started Surah Fatiha. Today, I did tafsir in the Durban studio, Surah Waqia, 27th para. It is 3.5 paras left now for the whole Quran, inshallah. So remember, this 7.5 years with Allah's help. So remember that the people benefit in these type of things here. So we don't say that if something is wrong, we're going to justify it. No. Wrong is wrong, finish and clear. But to say that a woman can't teach men, remember that's wrong also. A woman can teach men, but the conditions must be there. There must be no giggling, there must be no this, which today our women don't do. That is the problem. So we must remember this level. And I gave you the references. You can go check it up by any alim and so forth. Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu says, we used to be a sahaba and we used to go to males. They couldn't solve the problem. You know where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried. So the Hujra Mubarakah, so where Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. We used to go this side, we used to ask Mother Aisha and she used to solve our difficult problems and all this. So we must not be more Catholic than the Pope also, you know. Sometimes the way we carry on, we ought to be more Catholic than the Pope also. Anyway, brothers, Jazakallah khairan. To the sisters also, Jazakallah khair. We'll make dua, inshallah. I told you, quarter past 10, so we got 2-3 minutes, and then we final whistle, inshallah. Brothers, sisters, make sincere dua for the people in Palestine, people in Afghanistan, Somalia, Sudan, Kashmir. Me and you are in comfort zone, brothers. We eat 3, 4, 5 times a day. They eat maybe a good meal once in 3, 4 days. So think about it seriously. Innocent people. Every day someone is getting killed. What then, what is happening? So, minimum, we all should. Nabi alayhi salam said, مَنْ لَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِأَمْرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever is not bothered and concerned of the affairs of Muslims is not from the true Muslim. So, we should always have that in our mind that Almighty Allah uses us for the benefit of humanity, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيئنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما وأهله ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم اصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم اعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين والمستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم انصرهم في فلسطين وفي العراق وفي أفغانستان وفي شيشان وفي كشمير وفي سودان وفي صوماليا رب العالمين اللهم عليك بأعداء الدين اللهم اجدد وطأتك على جيوش الكفار اللهم اجدد وطأتك على جيوش الكفار اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وارنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.